The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting closer to open season for the Patriots. The NFL opened their season last night, and the Dallas Cowboys were 24-17 winners over the New York Giants, spoiling the Giants' home opener. I was the only one to pick that one correctly.
How about you, Cowboys?
So,
of course, you pick with your heart, not your head.
Turn your microphone on.
It is on.
Well, it wasn't then.
That was Flash's fault.
That was Nitwit.
So
different Nitwit, but still Nitwit.
The guys are all here, Paul and Andy. Eric will be here later.
Well done, Fred.
Eric will be by later.
And Pepe's back in the booth. Haven't seen him in a while.
No.
Hi, Pepe.
How are we doing?
Even though he didn't turn my mic on, I like the upgrade.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Manawanui.
Okay. Yeah, that was a signing made official yesterday.
And we saw him today.
And what do you think?
It's Manawanui.
End quote. The one thing I don't like is when people add letters. It has enough letters in it. He said he doesn't mind that people, he knows it's not Smith and Jones and it's a hard name, but he never understands when people actually add stuff that isn't in there. So, as he said, as long as they're calling his name often, he'll be happy.
Well, you guys just came from the locker room, so right off the bat I saw there was a pretty big contingent around Wes Welker, and then one around Vince Wilfork. Logan Mankins. What are they talking about?
The Titans knocking off the rust. One of the things certainly two offensive guys were talking about is stars, Welker and Mankins, big parts of this team who had very limited participation in the preseason. And I know Mankins said, you know, you just hope your conditioning is good enough to go. And Welker didn't seem worried at all. He said, you know, football is football. I've been in this offense for a long time. I just need to go out there and do what I do. But that was one of the thematic stories. Another one, everybody's asking, are you worried about the replacement officials? They are not. Whether they are or not, they are saying they are not.
Right.
Probably because they were told to say, you are not worried.
Well, last night they showed Roger Goodell before the game, and he did look a little bit concerned. But I guess afterwards,
how did he look concerned?
They showed him in the booth, and he didn't look like, wow, the season is about to kick off. He had a real.
But how do you know his cat didn't just die? How do you know it was the officials?
Okay, I just
that seems like one of those TV things where they take an image and have no idea, but try to put a reason behind it. Remember when Belichick and Parcells were on the same field and they wouldn't even look at each other? They were 100 yards away.
Okay, so he looked concerned before the game.
Although
afterwards, from what I hear, there was a huge sigh of relief. And They were very happy with the performance of the referees.
Right, and now the claim is that they stacked that crew with the guys of the replacements that they thought were the best.
They probably did.
It really
I would.
It's getting to the point of utter ridiculousness. Yeah. And
I mean, I'm not saying they're that much better, but I would pick the best to have the big opening game performance.
It was one game, and they were fortunate to have very few controversial plays. There was a bad missed hold on Dallas that should have led to a first and goal. There was a very big call that went against Dallas late in the game that I think was the right call.
The hold on the
That was a huge call, a potential game-changing call.
Yep.
That you don't always see with the game on the line.
Right.
But it was the right call. It was definitely a hold.
Yeah.
So they got away with it last night. And I'm not here to tell you these replacements are fine. See, I told you. It's one game. I'm sure that we're going to have – but I'll tell you. You'd think that they decided to change football by taking the football out of the game. You know, just go out there and play 11 on 11, no ball. That's how much people are reacting to how different the game is going to be. I mean, even, like, there was a point last night during the game. I don't know how closely you watched it, Fred.
I pretty much just watched the first half.
There was a play where there was a ton of false start penalties last night, which also made it a little bit easier for the officials. If we're going to call a lot of penalties, let's make them the ones that anybody from their couch can call. And that's, I mean, I think the Cowboys had 12 penalties. A good 8 of them had to be either delay a game, false start, or illegal motion. Stuff that, you know, or I could have called. But there was a play where they made a call, and as the guy was making the call, I forget who, but one of the players backed into the referee as he was on the microphone, and he kind of like got jostled, and he smiled, and then you could see as soon as he shut the microphone off, he turned to the guy and goes, ow, like that. You know, they were joking, and so Al Michaels made light of it, and he was joking around. And then the next play, they were like just short of the first down. They originally said that he was short, but then they looked and they gave him the first down. And it was kind of a hurry-up situation. They were like, well, so originally they said no first down. Now they're saying first down. The next play after that is like a 15-yard gain. So you can see it goes well past the yellow line. And Al Michaels goes, and that's going to be another first down, we think.
Mm.
And I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, they didn't do anything last night. Again, one game, small little window. There was nothing that – if you didn't know there were replacement officials last night, you would not have known.
Right.
Other than the fact that Al Michaels told us the guy from Idaho and, you know, that he was like some baggage clerk or something. I forget what he was. I mean, he kept saying that, you know, so-and-so from – small town in Idaho and whatever, and they were Division III refs. If you didn't know, you would have had no idea watching that game last night that this has been a big controversy, but they're making it a big controversy.
Yep.
I think those,
Pete Prisco tweeted, he tweeted at like 8:15. Oh, these officials are horrible. Did you see that play? Oh, the game hasn't started yet.
Good.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys did that. I did see Pete's.
Well, he's on our side.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. He said at whatever point the real officials come back, then he's going to start doing it for the real officials, tracking every single screw up.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought that was an egregious missed call last night on, I think it was Skandrick, on Victor Cruz. I mean, he reached out around his waist, grabbed him, and then even after he held him, he went through him before the ball got there. It was holding and pass interference.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sorry, but I'd be lying if I told you I didn't see that happen five times a week.
Right.
In the slate of games that happen in the NFL. That's not a call that I see made all the time by the regular
officials. These guys are going to err on the side of not making that call.
And the reaction to it by the media, and this is a media thing. You know, sometimes we're defensive of the media and our role. This is a media thing. They're making this way worse than it needs to be.
All right, so that was the opening kickoff for the league last night. Patriots had their first injury report issued yesterday. Anything jump out at you with that? No?
Not really.
Stephen Ridley was not on it, so that's a good thing. Yep.
Well, is that one less concern now that you have?
It helps.
Good.
It really does help.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, why do you laugh? Why do you laugh?
Because the offense hinges on Stephen Ridley?
It hinges on not hinges
on Nate Solder.
The running
and by the way, Paul has a story to tell about
the running game.
Scaring Dante Scarnecchia.
The running game hinges on Vereen and Ridley.
The running game is an afterthought.
Well, no, I don't think it is.
It was an afterthought last year for the number two ranked offense in the NFL.
I think if they're
going
to do this new philosophy we talked about at length yesterday, you have to have a decent running game.
First of all, A, we have no idea what they're going to do. B, they can go back to just throwing the ball and be one of the best offenses in football. You have a high-class worry right now. You want them to be number one. You want them to be the best ever offense.
It may be just that. I want them to improve on, you know, on what they had last year. And
okay, so they may not be better. And but you know what? Status quo is pretty damn good.
There's one particular area, the outside passer, that they may have improved on.
Right.
We haven't seen it yet in preseason, but at the same time, we may have taken a step back in the running game in offensive.
Oh, I don't
we
think
absolutely,
we could take
there's
a step
not a possibility
back in the
of us taking a step
I thought
back.
The running game sucked.
I'm eliminating
last year.
That as a possibility. We could not have taken a step back in the run game.
Well, we could have.
No, I'm saying it.
If they fumble every time they touch the ball,
no,
then it's a step back.
I think if Vereen and Ridley weren't available, I think it would be a step back.
Oh, we'll average 3.6 like we did last year. You don't think Bolden could get 3.6 a carry?
I don't know. I mean, do you?
Yes. Okay. I think Paul could get 3.6 a carry.
Not since the Achilles.
Yeah, the Achilles is the issue. Not the extra 50 pounds around the middle.
What else do we got?
50.
So injury report, nothing startling?
No.
No?
So we're ready. We're ready to roll. Ready to kick butt and alleviate all your concerns.
Tom Brady had a press conference yesterday. Now, was that in the visiting locker room?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so they've switched things up here. In case people don't know, the media workroom where the press conferences used to be held is now an extension of the weight room.
Right.
So they've really expanded the weight room for the players, which means there's no media workroom until next year because they did this late in the game. So they're doing most of the stuff. What?
They're going to put a media workroom back?
Oh, yeah. We'll have one.
Donde?
Oh, where? I didn't know that. I'm dead serious. Oh, this is news to me.
Yeah, that's yet to be determined. But next year, there'll be a permanent
media
workroom.
I thought that's
going to be a spooky world, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the media workroom was just out.
Oh, no. They just, you know, because they decided to do the expansion of the weight room so late, they didn't have time to think about and build a new media workroom. But that there will
media is always getting screwed.
There will be one next year. This year there isn't. So in the meantime, they're using the press box as a functional media workroom. And but for Brady, when he does his press conferences, you know, the locker room is about as far away from the press box as you could get. So he's not going to do his press conferences in the press box. He's going to do it in the visiting locker room,
which I find interesting because didn't he only do it in the media workroom like half the time anyway?
Yeah,
a lot
but,
of times he did it at his locker.
But there's a lot of pressure for him to do it because he got that background with the sponsors.
I think last year, for the most part, he went to the media workroom. Yeah.
After the controversy over his comments last year, he, from then on, went and did a press conference.
What comments? About staying hydrated?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I was trying to stay away from that.
So, you know, that plus...
Why? We don't do that here.
You know, there is...
He said it, not you. You didn't step in your own mouth.
You know, it is good for the sponsors. I think it's Covidian and Dunkin' Donuts has their logos behind Belichick and Brady when they speak. So there's marketing pressure for him to do it,
right.
You know, behind with that background. Now, I guess you could move the background.
What are
to his
you doing?
I'm
He's standing, getting a wide stance.
When
what
you,
are you doing?
When you open a new bottle of Diet Coke, you have to let it breathe a little bit.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed, even though we were kind of mocking the story of the week being the McCourty twins and they both did conference calls with the other media back and forth, I did like the very last question was to Jason was, what's a perfect day for the McCourty twins on Sunday? And he goes, Titans win. Devin will get over it. Made me laugh.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
All right.
Everybody's talking about how they're the same guy. All the teammates say they walk the same. You watch them on film. The other guy walks just like him.
But Jason walks like he's 92.
They do. They kind of do. And, you know, it's a feel-good story for the week. They bought their mom a house last summer and all that.
It is a feel-good story. There's no question
about
that.
Who's got bragging rights? You know, Devin was the first-round pick, but now Jason is the rich one with the $40 million contract. And you know, Devin was the Pro Bowler, but now Jason's better.
Is Jason that good, do you think?
I don't know enough about him.
That contract raised a lot of eyebrows around the league from people who at least claim to be in the know. Let's put it that way.
Ian Rappaport?
No, I mean like some of the analytical kind of guys. The kid from the New York Times, the Andy Benoit.
Yeah.
He's one of the, you know,
does he know?
Greg Cosell.
Oh, Cosell, maybe. He watches a lot of tape.
Football. What's the Pro Football Focus? Those types think he's a good, not great player. And that's kind of a great player contract.
Who do they think is the better McCourty?
I didn't really read anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard that comparison. But Jason's more of a safety, isn't he?
No, he's a starting
both
corner.
Corners.
Oh, he became
a
starting corner last year. Was not really a starter before that.
Until last year, yeah.
Okay.
And now he's going to be their number one corner because Cortland Finnegan left in free agency. And so they're sort of hoping that McCourty takes the reins. But Finnegan was one of those guys they used, like the Pats have used Ty Law in the past, where he went everywhere. He just matched up with the other team's best receiver. And if that was in the slot, it was in the slot, wherever it was. They're using that on the other guy, Werner, Alteron Werner. He's been used like Finnegan was, outside in the slot. So that's kind of funny that they're not using McCourty the same way they use Finnegan. So, but maybe he's just not really suited for the slot.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Why.
I mean,
I don't want to read anything.
They're bigger,
that.
Stronger, you know, run-stuffing corners, we like to call Devin. They're not necessarily
We don't
built
like
for the
to
slot.
Call him that. You like to call him that.
Well, he's our run-stuffing
corner. I
said
he's a good physical corner and he tackles well. And you said, oh, that's great. We have a physical run-stuffing corner.
When he stopped being able to cover people, I dubbed him our...
You said it in a very derogatory fashion.
Well, not really.
And I said, derogatory? And you said, yeah, he's great. Like Rocky.
I don't know.
And, I don't know, Francis. I don't know.
Other news today, the passing of Art Modell came across the wire this morning. 87. I didn't realize he was that old. 87 years old. Some people have already said he should have been and should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What do you think about that?
I have no idea.
I don't know enough about this.
I'm not
things.
Qualified Owners to say
what the contributions are off the field.
Exactly.
That get you
I'm
in.
Not qualified to say what guys that are. You know, didn't play.
Like, I mean,
to the
Robert
game.
Kraft, we know because, I mean, it's almost unanimous that he was a huge force in getting them back to football. So that's a contribution coming out of the CBA. That's a league-wide contribution. What are Modell's? I know the Monday Night Football, he sort of helped create or negotiate that.
Did he? Yeah.
Well, that's the report. I don't know. That's what they say. I wasn't around back then.
So I'm not a huge fan of...
Actually, I think Robert, in his statement about... the passing of Art Modell brought up his influence on Monday Night Football and all that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the things that we know about Modell are probably unfair, you know, in that he moved the team and all that. I know he's a villain, and I'm not trying to convince people in Cleveland that they're wrong. I'm sure I would feel differently if I was, you know, as personally affected as people in Cleveland were. But I think he was probably a pretty good owner for a long time and was, you know, what a lot of people say he was, as Andy said, a building block for the league. He was an innovative for a lot of different things. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of contributors into the Hall of Fame. To me, the Hall of Fame should be players. You know, players and coaches.
Yep.
I'm not sure that there should
be. I'm okay with contributors.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I mean, it's not, I don't lose sleep over it. I don't, you know, Pete Rozelle is a Hall of Famer, right? I assume.
Yeah, I think
you
he
know,
got
I mean, it doesn't bother me that he's in and, you know. Certainly, Robert Kraft, as you brought up, it's not.
No, you don't want him in.
Not going to bother me that Robert Kraft's going to be in.
Anyone listening, Paul said he should not be in the Hall of Fame. Andy said he should be.
Okay.
First ballot.
All right.
That's not what I said.
But I did, along the lines of good owner, I thought Nick said there were a million comments. You know, the Ravens put out all these people that have played for the Browns or Ravens, coach, all this. And Nick Saban's was, one of his memories was when he was the defensive coordinator in Cleveland. He got the Michigan State head coaching job. He was still in Cleveland. And the first thing Modell did under his own was hire a secretary for Saban to handle absolutely everything involved with
the transition. Really?
And that's one of those things. I don't think you have to do that. But it's in the best interest of everyone involved if there's sort of a point person that can handle everything. And
also,
you know,
it's a way of the owner to keep tabs on what's going on.
Oh, jeez. It's always
done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the keep tabs part, the cynical part that you have to throw it into some ugly thing, but Andy's thing. Andy's thing. We've done that. When Charlie left,
I
think our buddy Shane
and
was
for all I know,
that, right?
Bill Belichick got that idea from Art Modell just saying, I hired a secretary for Saban, so you don't have to worry about him dealing with anything. I mean, maybe Art Modell stole it from somebody before him, but, you know, that's the kind of thing. You go a little bit above and beyond, and it helps everybody out.
Yep. All right, so that's pretty much it. Now, let's talk about the game coming up, I guess.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
It's our last show of the week.
So Patriots taking on the Titans. Titans, I think, earned the reputation of being a little bit dirty, chippy, you know, and I go back to,
going back like 8 years ago.
Well, I go back to
Rodney Harrison,
and even
beyond
that.
Although Cortland Finnegan, who I brought up earlier, he was certainly dirty.
Yeah.
He's not
but
there
now anymore. They've got
and what's his name? Kevin Mawai.
Yeah, he's a dirty player.
They've got a new head coach now.
Well, he was their offensive line coach, so all these guys that were chop blocking and cutting were doing it because he told them to chop block and cut.
Do you get the
fair point?
Do you get the sense that they're basically the same team, or is there a new culture on this team? What direction is this guy going to take them?
I think there's a similar culture. I think you still have an ex-player coach who wants a physical, borderline dirty football team. I think it's a similar style and similar desire of what they want to be as a football. I mean, right even down to the quarterback. I mean, you had Steve McNair. You now have a pretty big, strong-armed, pretty athletic quarterback making his first start. But, I mean, I think a lot of what they're doing, you know, the running back's different. It's a small guy who's going to rush for 300 carries instead of a big guy in Eddie George and some of the guys they've had. But I still think the basic blueprint of Tennessee football is similar.
And they had the reputation and earned again of a pretty good defensive line. They've always had a good defensive line. Where do they stack up these days?
I think right now it's being a little overrated. You know, and I told Paul this. They brought in Cameron Wimbley. He had a good preseason. He had a couple sacks in that third preseason game against the Cardinals. He's a proven pass rusher at defensive end. The other side, they have Derek Morgan. They got Carl Klug from Iowa. I think they're okay. But when Bill says, you know, and they roll them out there, one guy after another, I think that's his way of saying they're all kind of the same. I don't, you know, his whole thing that if you have, who was it, Reggie White, you play Reggie White.
Right.
That's, I think, he looks at it. If you have Jason Pierre-Paul, they don't roll anybody else out there. They roll Jason Pierre-Paul out there. I think this defensive line is getting a little bit more of a reputation than it deserves.
Yeah, and I agree with Andy to an extent. I do think that they like to use some numbers, but I do think Cameron Wimbley's a pretty good player. He's not Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, that's, you know, I think Jason Pierre-Paul is a special player. I think he's going to be
30 sacks, according to his teammate.
I think he's going to be remembered as a special player. But I do think with Wimbley, they have a guy that they think can get some pressure in the passer. Now, last year, they couldn't. Now, here's the thing. I would feel very excited as a Patriots fan in this game, and Fred, to alleviate your concerns with Patriots offense. This is basically a 4-3, no blitz, two deep, Tampa 2 kind of team. And those are the kinds of teams that Tom Brady eats for breakfast.
A la Brad Childress back with Minnesota.
Yeah. This is the kind of team that Brady eats for breakfast. Now, I do think that unlike some of those other teams that Brady's really picked apart, they have the ability to get some pressure on the passer, and they couldn't do it last year, and that really hurt them. They had a hard time getting off the field at times. This year, I think, with Wimbley, Derek Morgan is back healthy. He's sort of been kind of – there's a lot of potential there, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. And Andy brought up Klug as a guy that I didn't really know a whole lot about. I mean, he had a pretty solid year as an interior sub-rusher last year. If they can get pressure on the passer, it sort of makes a lot of other things look a little bit better. So that's what they're going to try to do. They were successful at it, as Andy alluded to, in the preseason. We'll see if they can carry that over to the regular season. That'll be a very key. I think that's one really key matchup to watch on Sunday is like Wimbley and Morgan against the Patriots tackles.
As far as the Patriots offense versus their defense, where do you think the big areas are to exploit for Brady? I mean, is it, you know, which side of the field, or if they go man on man, which player do you think is their weak link? I know when Gronkowski and Hernandez are out there, it's a matchup nightmare no matter what. But is there a particular weak link that the Patriots will look to exploit?
No.
No?
I think they have decent play in the secondary, not good.
Yeah, I think Griffin's a pretty good safety, but I don't think he's going to be a guy that – he's not like Ed Reed. He's not going to discourage you from taking shots because of his ability to cover. But I think he's a pretty good player. Probably Werner because he's the newer guy. I mean, I think that they probably
and they're
going to
match
like,
him up with Welker.
Yeah, they probably feel like McCourty is a guy that they're pretty comfortable with, and Werner's the new guy who's taking a step up in responsibility. He's probably the guy, and as Andy points out, he's probably going to move into the slot on Wes.
So how did Locker earn his starting job through play in the preseason, or is it just We drafted this guy, he's going to start?
A little bit of both. He played a decent amount last year. He just never started.
Yeah.
And it's his team. I mean, you drafted him with a high first-round pick to play, and he's going to have to learn. He was always a guy. He's not a you know, he's not the Brady Hoyer mold where he's this cerebral, make his reads. He's always been a little bit of an athletic playmaker. He's a guy that threw 95 as a baseball player and has great feet and runs around. So he's going to learn on the fly. I mean, there's going to be some ad-libbing to his game here.
So is there any chance, because we've seen it before, where, you know, the young guy or the inexperienced quarterback comes in and, you know, does pretty well against the Patriots defense. Is there any chance that this guy does that?
Yep.
Absolutely.
You do think so? You've seen enough from him that he could?
Oh, no, I haven't seen enough from our secondary to say that that can't happen.
I mean, pretty much everyone's done it the last year and a half, 2 years.
But this is a new defense.
But it isn't.
Well, Steve Gregory, Chandler Jones, Dante
Hightower. They need to prove it.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I'm worried about the defense, and you're worried about the running back.
You're right back to where we were yesterday.
But, I mean, we've seen it enough over the last couple of years. I don't care who it is. So it's a new defense. You know, so we got two rookies starting now. We'll be fine. We've seen enough free agents and rookies come in here and not live up to the billing. They need to prove what they can do, regardless of whether it's against Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Matt Schaub, or Jake Locker. And the athleticism bothers me. I always think that there's a chance that, yeah, he embarrasses Chandler Jones, who's a green rookie. So, boom, he gets in there. He's all excited, and then whoop!
We talked a lot about it on the pregame social before we played Philadelphia in the preseason game. You know, Vic likes to do that little fake belly motion with LeSean McCoy one way, misdirection, and he boots out the other side. It's important that those edge guys, you know, stay disciplined. And there's a play that happened that Chandler Jones came crashing right down, and Vic got right around him.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, Locker's not a guy I don't think that's going to look to run probably like Vic does. He's not an electrifying runner, but he's an extremely athletic quarterback who plays better outside of the pocket. He wants to move out of the pocket.
So this is the kind of guy you want to keep in the pocket.
Yes.
You want to be disciplined with your rush, just collapse the pocket rather than come at him from different angles.
But you also need to cover.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not sold on the coverage.
And that's what happens when you get out of the pocket, just by definition, that's more time that you need to cover guys. Now, sometimes
it puts pressure on the guys.
Sometimes it can limit the half of the field.
The guy who's in the flat, do I have to come up or am I staying in the flat? And if I come up, he dumps it over my head. If I don't come up, he runs for 5 yards.
You have to make decisions.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Now, if you're asking me if we're going to get to what we think is going to happen as Fred gets transfixed again.
And
is
it's not even a hot
on?
Chick. It's like a fat 40-year-old.
No, no, it's some woman acting like an ass. But go ahead.
She can't even hear. How do you know she's acting like an ass?
That's dancing impressive. In front of the school bus. I don't like that. Anyway, keep going. I'm listening. You don't have to interrupt yourself.
Don't have to interrupt yourself.
If we get to the point where it's, you know, we're getting to the predictions here, guess would be that I think that the Patriots are – Locker's not probably ready to make enough plays.
Ooh.
No, I'm saying to make enough plays to match the Patriots' offense. But, you know, the question that you started with Andy and I, you know, are we afraid that he can – yeah, no, I'm afraid that he can make, complete passes and move the ball. And
their plan is to have Chris Johnson come in, carry the load, and then play action, Jake Locker, bootlegs, things of that nature, it on Jake Locker's shoulder.
Thank Cleveland 2 years ago with Colt McCoy and Peyton Hillis. Different kind of running back because it's not a bull. It's a lightning bolt.
It's a gazelle.
And Jake Locker is better than Colt McCoy.
You mixed your metaphors there.
So would a key here be for the Patriots be Kyle Love and Wilfork on the inside just collapsing that pocket?
Well, no. I think the key to the defense is stopping the run first. Everything they're going to do is going to be coming off of Chris Johnson. And that puts some pressure on. That's Ninkovich playing defensive end and coming up against the run. That's Chandler Jones setting the edge on his side. That's Dante Hightower and your guy, Brandon Spikes, A, being on the field, and B, doing their jobs, you know, getting their run fits in, being sound up front. Everything will come off of that. If they don't stop Chris Johnson, and I'm not talking the 80-yard run.
Right.
I'm just saying stop him enough so that they're not just handing it at will 3 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, because he also has the chance to break an 80-yarder, and that's where your new safety, Steve Gregory, and some of those guys come in, our run-stuffing corner.
And Fred,
yes?
I have no concerns about that whatsoever.
You don't? Run-stuffing?
No.
Okay.
I think the Patriots...
What if Spikes limps off immediately?
Listen, things can change. I'll just go with the Fred thing. You know, conditions on the ground change.
Right.
And who comes in?
I don't know.
And how does it work?
It's a good question. Tracy White?
Bobo Rivera?
I think Bombo would come in, to be honest.
Oh, Bombo, sorry. Did you see we got an email from his friend or family, too?
Yeah, I was supposed to ask about his art and music.
Yeah, I was thinking that's an Eric feature right there, art and music.
It's... So in the last 2 days, we've had two family members write in. We had Justin Francis's mother.
Yes, and I told him, and he was very excited. He thought that was nice.
She wrote in, and now...
Bombo's friend.
Mike Rivera.
Yeah. Someone that knew him at Kansas.
Okay.
And Chandler Jones just direct messaged me telling me that I tweeted that, I don't know if you saw, when he walks by in the locker room, I always think it's Marcus Paul from behind. They have like the same head and build, and he found that interesting.
Found what interesting?
That he looks like Marcus Paul from behind.
Okay.
I also find it interesting that
he follows me, apparently, because doesn't he have to follow me to direct tweets?
Yes.
Or something?
You have to follow him, and he has to follow you.
Correct. Good to know.
I think, didn't he say that he was following us?
A lot of players say a lot of things.
Well, you guys, because I wasn't actually on. I was in the other
room. A lot of players say a lot of things. I don't believe him. He seems like a good guy, though. I believe him.
Yeah, I actually, he walked in with Mesko today. Those two come sauntering in the locker room, and I hear Chandler Jones look at Mesko and say, "How much money do you think Justin Bieber has?" I just started laughing.
Well, he's not as... I don't want to say stupid, but he has the happy-go-luckiness
playful.
Of Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah.
Playful
he has that,
nature,
always got
yes.
a smile and, like,
right.
happy, you know, on Twitter and playing around.
Yep.
He doesn't have the real duh-duh-duh.
I think that comes from when you have brothers, a lot of, you know.
It could be.
Because you're always playing.
An athletic brother.
Right. You're always roughhousing. You're always playing. Everything's a competition.
They do come from similar families of elite-level athletes.
Every day's a competition. Who gets the best food?
The Gronkowskis.
Who gets the last baked potato?
But McCourty's not playful like that. He doesn't have that to him. And he was competing every day with a guy who was the same guy.
True. But you
maybe it's larger numbers or something.
It's not just larger number, but I think the age difference,
the
older
bombers.
The younger is always trying to challenge the older, and the middle guy is always trying to get his own, establish his own place.
Right, and then when you grow up with a household of girls like Brady, you end up
being the
like
king.
Brady.
You be the king.
The Metro.
Wearing a sweater to a barbecue.
You end up going down a water slide going,
all right. You know what?
And you win three Super Bowl titles.
Leave Tom Brady alone.
I'm not worried
be
about
happy.
Him. You are.
You should every day get on your knees and thank God.
He'd probably like it.
And thank God that this team has
That's
Tom Brady because he makes your job better. Yes.
Okay.
No probably. Doubt about it.
Yeah, you're right.
No doubt about it. All right.
Define better.
Makes the team better, thus,
All right. Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
He makes the team better.
I don't want to evolve into any Red Sox talk, because I know that our fans hate that. But I'm sure some of them listened to Bobby Valentine's interview yesterday.
Yeah, most overblown thing I've ever heard in my life. He said that, if you were here, I'd punch you in the face. Then he went, ha-ha. And it was just one of those things.
Did you actually hear it?
Yeah. Whoa.
Did you hear the whole interview?
Not the whole. I heard.
Okay.
Oh,
because
it was the whole interview.
Then.
The whole interview was off the
wall. That was
the
whole interview. It was off the rails the whole interview.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard
all
that.
I envisioned was a Bill Belichick conference call turning into that. And I just couldn't do it.
But to me, it was more like, you say something. Paul, if I was there, I'd punch you in the...
That's not how he said it.
And then he went, ha-ha, afterwards.
He said it, my opinion, he said it completely seriously and immediately said to himself, oh, my God, what did I just say? Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. So, I was just kidding.
But regardless of that, even if you think that part was overblown, the whole interview,
but,
Joe Madden shows up every day at 4, it's okay for him.
He sounded like my 5-year-old son, TJ. I don't want to go to stupid kindergarten.
Right. Yeah, I had to go to the stupid Coliseum this miserable season.
The whole team's a mess right now. It really is.
I find it fascinating. Because of the total difference of everything, Patriots and Red Sox.
I wonder if the owners are paying him off to act like this bad, to take attention away from the fact
team.
That they put this all together.
You never know.
I don't know.
I just think it's, you got two owners, you got Larry Lucchino, you got Ben Cherington, you got a manager, you're going to bring in, there's too many chefs. I don't think any organization can function that way. You can't do it.
I agree.
You can't do it.
The only thing about that is it worked very well for 8 years under Francona. And you go back to, they were, a strike away, five outs away from the World Series before Francona. Same system.
Yeah.
Same owners. Same
talent.
General. No, I understood. But that's they acquired the talent with the same basic
problems
that Fred had.
Manny was a holdover. He
wasn't their talent. But you
and Pedro was a holdover. When you have the best pitcher and best hitter in baseball, you got a chance.
No, but you don't have to defend Dan Duquette. But you know how I feel about that whole thing.
But these times of systems
but they
break
had,
down.
They had two owners, Lucchino, a general manager, and a manager, and they won two World Series in 4 years.
My point is, I think it gets back to the winning cures all. Winning covers up a lot.
Right.
It's so when
I
you're
just think
winning,
it's poor decision making. It's not necessarily the plan that's in place. You know.
Oh, I
the,
think
the,
I'm with
Fred.
I think there's
in place.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
All right, let's go to
I
the
think
phones.
There's one cook in the kitchen who's in moron. That's Lucchino. I think he thinks he's a baseball guy and he's not.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Let's go to Tom in Templeton, Mass, who's been holding on. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Thanks for being patient.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to try and do something difficult for me. I've been following you guys all the preseason, and this preseason I thought was the first time you guys did a better coverage than I can do. I thought it was spectacular.
Oh, thank you.
The radio shows, the podcast, everything. And, Fred, you need to give these guys a raise.
I'm with you, Tom.
Yeah, I was a little bit upset. I thought it was a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but now I'm on board with you, Tom. Thank you.
Is this a plan? Did Andy tell you to call?
You got to give me a break, okay? I'm trying to be humble.
Can I ask you if you are involved in covering in any way? Do you do stuff?
My website is patsdraft.com.
Okay, so.
So I do mostly draft stuff, but the past couple of years I've been writing about the team as well. But I mostly do draft stuff from a Patriots perspective.
Well, good. And what specifically did you like this year that we did that we haven't been doing?
I thought the podcast was terrific. The training camp cast, everything. Because I like to listen to your podcast while I clean the kitchen. So I always download them. That's why I never call or write in or anything. And I thought they were I just thought they were great. They entertained me.
Well, thank you.
Tom, Brillo or SOS?
SOS.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. Let's go to Nick in San Diego. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing, Fred. How are you feeling, more importantly?
I'm feeling good. I'm still a little worried, but I'm feeling good. I'm excited to get the season going.
Okay, good. Because yesterday, listening to that was just torture. That was the worst I've ever heard you sound.
Really?
The entire time I've been listening.
You're not used to that,
can you
huh?
Verbalize what upsets you? You're supposed to be our fearless leader. Don't be so afraid.
Look, I like I said, I think in the long term, I think the offense is going to be fine. But I do have I'm surprised that I have this many questions going into the season. I didn't think I would going into the season.
So what is it? O line? Is the running game?
O line, running game, and you know,
Brady.
Are they going to be able to add to the passing game that element that even Brady admitted they didn't have last year?
Sure. Okay, I can understand that. Well, the good news is
don't let him off the hook. That's not anything to be understandable.
I think that's all legit.
What the good news is that we have a nice little power plus couple of games coming up. We got Tennessee, then we have Arizona. That should be able to put the offense in a rhythm, so that way we can get them going. So that by the time that we're up to Baltimore, we can really crank it out.
And I agree with that. I think that was a good draw for the Patriots, no doubt.
Yeah, so, Fred, you just got to focus on one game at a time. Focus, all right? Don't look too far down ahead. You got to really get it going here, all right, buddy?
Gotcha, Nick.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Nick calls all the way from San Diego just to make me feel better.
And he's a really negative guy, so you're in trouble if you need a pep talk from the Mr. Negativity.
Does Nick call into the pregame social?
Yeah, he calls. I think he's called this show before occasionally, too.
Yeah, he does call the pregame social.
I know there's a in San Diego, a particular bar that a lot of the Patriots fans go to. It's an Irish pub, Boston-based pub out there that, you know, on any given day, every given Sunday, a lot of Patriots fans are at. So,
good.
Let's go to some of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Oh, and because I hadn't used my email for so long, it just knocked me out. So I have to log back in.
The new locker room looks nice, Fred, don't you think?
Well,
the new rug.
The new rug does, yeah.
What do you think they added that flat screen for? Do they turn that on when we leave just to, like, watch the view and the chew and all those things? I was wondering that. Because they've added a big flat screen on the pillar, maybe two. And I just wondered why.
I bet you they have, you know, they have TV going when we're not there.
Because it's not like, I mean, their day is pretty structured. I mean, I get the impression, you know, a lot of baseball locker rooms have big TVs because it there seems like there's more downtime. They're in the clubhouse hanging out.
Well, you know
here,
what?
Here, it seems like
and
there's
the players
a lot of
yell at the media for watching the TV.
This,
is, yeah. that story.
This yeah. isn't actually, you know, now that I think about this, Andy, this is actually more complex than it might seem. Okay, so they have these flat panels. Now, one of the things that Belichick preaches is don't listen to the noise. Don't let it distract you. So when the TV's on, do you think they've got ESPN on or NFL Network?
No.
So what do you think they do put on that?
BET.
BET. Okay.
And stuff like that. MTV.
All right.
And stuff.
Maybe porn, a little porn?
Possibly.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see the lawsuit Ben and Jerry's? There's a whole porn line. It's after the Ben and Jerry's ice cream and some of the flavors are just... And Ben and Jerry's is suing them for misusing their likeness and all this, but Ben and Jerry's.
You like that?
I do.
But it is interesting because, you know, I would think that, you know, they are so, you know, attentive to all the details. So if you have TVs in the locker room, do you allow them to be have ESPN on them?
Or do they even use them for... I mean, we know they do walkthroughs in there sometimes. We've seen Pepper Johnson and some have doing walkthroughs. Maybe there's some tape up there. And you see right there, that's what we're looking for here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll ask. Maybe.
That's a good question.
Who am I going to ask?
We'll send it out to Stacey James, the media relations director, and see what he can do with that.
No, I was going to actually ask like Logan Mankin, somebody that I like and I think is pretty honest.
Okay. Because, you know, he'll probably say, I don't know.
No, I think he'll tell me.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I don't know. They haven't turned him on yet. Or, I don't know, yesterday they had the news on. I think he's pretty honest. He'll tell you.
All right.
Fred, every once in a while, you think at a level that I would never even think to go to. I just can't imagine there's that much thought. But you're probably right. There's probably a reason. That they, I mean, I see those the flat screen, and I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah,
what they monitor, what is on? I like I said, you're probably right.
You know, but, like on Friday, do they play PFW TV?
I hope not.
Which, by the way, premieres season premiere tonight.
That's right,
7:30 after the Emmy award winning Quickslants,
CSN NNE, and like you guys did for us on the website, voting Paul and Andy as you know most valuable. We'd love you to, well, I don't know. Do any of you have Nielsen boxes? Because you are the people that we need to
right.
watch this thing.
We need to win the ratings war this year.
Right. So I don't think it really, we do want everyone to watch, but I think only the people with boxes really helps.
I
right?
think so. Yeah. I don't know how it works these days. I still don't understand why it can't go through my cable box.
Right.
I think everybody should be counted.
Well, I think it's a privacy issue at this point. I think, you know.
They could bury it in the fine line.
I know.
And everybody
could.
Would agree to it.
Yeah, but in order to use it publicly as a ratings thing, then they would have to admit we're tracking what people are watching.
No, I know. But no one reads all the fine print. I'm sure I signed a user agreement for Comcast that I have no idea what it said in the fifth paragraph of the fourth
page. I think there should be an opt-out thing where when you get your box, there's a setting where it says, I don't want to be tracked. And otherwise you are. And I'd have no problem with that.
I mean, they track me online all the time on computers.
I have an interest in actually knowing... What really is the highest rated shows? Is it, you know, Here Comes BB, what's that show? Here Comes Honey Boo Boo? I mean, supposedly that's a really high rated show.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Well, that's the
but
other
those
thing.
Kind of, those kinds of shows that have really high rate, they're not really high rated in terms of all TV shows.
No, in terms of cable.
Yeah, but yeah. Like those niche
that's
shows.
Where I want to be counted because if I actually like that show, I want it to stay on TV. And unlike the nightly news, which is everybody, whatever, that's a niche program where if they get 300,000 viewers, they're happy. I want them to see my viewership.
Right.
I want them to be able to stay on TV. I want to affect their success.
And if they're basing it just on those Nielsen boxes, there's a good chance that number is a lot higher.
We had the Nielsen guy that called in who said, you know, it's all guesstimation and estimation.
Right.
It's all flawed.
Right. So I'm all for more accurate ratings.
Yeah. It should go right through the cable box. It's a two-way box already. You on demand, they send you, so it goes both ways.
Right.
Just make it so that it records what I'm watching.
Yep.
And if I'm watching porn at midnight, who cares? I'm watching porn at midnight.
Joe in Michigan. Hey, guys, from PFW, long-time listener, first-time emailer. First off, I started listening to the show early last season and rarely ever miss a show. Absolutely love it. Anyway, since I began listening, I've wanted to create a podcast of my own with a few of my friends, and I have a journalism background. I'm wondering if you have any tips or advice for a newcomer to this form of media. I live in a small town in Michigan, so anything you have to say will help and would be greatly appreciated. Keep up the great work, and above all, screw the Jets. Paul, you're a longtime veteran of podcasting. What advice would you give someone who wanted to break into the podcasting business?
Well, interesting question, Fred. I think you need to find out what kind of cleaning products you use in the kitchen. You might want to have a little debate.
Like hire a host who can't speak.
Like we did with Tom. You might want to eat as much food as you can during the course of a show.
Have a producer who's not really capable of their job, and the show goes in and out occasionally. The microphones sound terrible.
No, but seriously, I mean, it's all about content.
That's what we do.
If you're going to start a podcast, you want people to listen, I would imagine. So you have to start with good content. If you don't really have anything different, interesting to say, what's the incentive for people to listen? So, like, let's assume that you've got that kick. You've got the great content. Then it's, you know, for someone like you, it's going to be a lot of word of mouth. I would suggest setting up a blog site on WordPress or something like that. So that can be kind of the home of your blog and, of your podcast. And you can, you know, create sort of maybe a weekly newsletter, get people to sign up so you have their email, so you build an audience and you have a way of contacting your audience. And just go from there. But it all starts, getting Facebook and Twitter, using social media. But it starts with having good content. You know?
And that can include guests.
Yeah.
Maybe Paul would like to join your podcast when you get it up and
running. Paul, I mean, if it's on air, Paul will come with you. You know, yeah. he'll.
Just put a fake camera in front of him and he'll talk forever.
Yep. Either that or a calzone. one or the other.
No, that hurts his talking.
All right, we got a lot of emails, and we're going to get to them right after this.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We've got a lot of emails coming and people excited to finally kick off this Patriots season. 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans down in Nashville. Phil from Nova Scotia, though, writes in. He says, I just finished listening to Cold Hard Football Facts. I think it's a great show. Good hosts and an interesting variety of topics, including barbecue.
Even the Cold Hard Football Facts guys, the guys that are supposed to be bare bones, numbers-based analysis, are taking the PFW form.
Actually, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead,
Kerry Byrne, actually, who was in charge of
I know.
He's actually a food critic as well.
No, I know, but if he just wanted to be a food critic, he would have never started a site called Cold Hard Football Facts.
Well, he's eclectic. Anyway, he says, I really wanted to try the fried turkey skin chips.
Ooh. Fried turkey skin.
Well,
chips?
All I know is that fried duck skin is delicious.
Is there anything that could be more fattening than
no.
fried skin of a
no.
bird?
No, it's very, 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 very fattening. Anyway, Cold Hard Football Facts makes a great companion show to PFW in Progress. Thanks for bringing this to us. And Fred, you knocked this one out of the park.
It was my idea.
Well, thank you. Yes, that debuted yesterday, and at 4 o'clock today, we'll have another new show debuting, Football Nation, with Todd DeVries and Bill Enright. They'll be here to talk about everything NFL, really in-depth NFL talk, looking at all the games coming up. They'll be doing picks as well, so that's coming up at 4 o'clock, and they'll be taking your calls and emails as well. So that's a good way to talk about all the other games coming up in the NFL for 2 hours, and that'll be every Thursday from 4 to 6 from now on, Football Nation on Patriots.com radio. So
we're going to have a show on Thursdays where the two hosts are going to, you know, sort of delve into all the games and make picks.
Maybe we should
just make picks like real quick and maybe.
Well,
we can...
I was thinking for the last 10 minutes we pretend we know about the rest of the league, and then 2 hours later you can really find out what's going on. With
right.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe we should just make picks and be on with it, and not really even pretend to talk about them.
You know, Bill and
Fred
Todd.
Fred hasn't analyzed a game in 5 years.
Bill and Todd.
Yeah, I'll go with the Giants.
And I was the only one right last night.
Because you picked with your heart. You picked against the Giants.
Where is my heart with the Cowboys?
No, no, no. Your heart is against the Giants that have cut your heart out the last two Super Bowls.
No, no, that had nothing to do with it. Honestly, it really didn't. I hate the Cowboys just as much. I love watching the Cowboys.
How many times have the Cowboys beaten you in the Super Bowl in the last 5 years?
It has nothing to do with it. I love watching the Cowboys lose.
And you did. You were the only one that had it right both ways, but I did take the points.
Good, Paul.
So I, you know.
Good, Paul.
I just don't want you to break your arm patting yourself on the back over there.
No, but it's like me picking Bo Jackson for something and saying I was the only one who analyzed it. No, you picked with the obvious.
Cowboys start fast, finish slow. Giants start slow, finish fast.
And because they finish fast twice in the last 5 years, you picked against them.
No, that really isn't. There
is no way you can convince me you didn't pick against the Giants because they became the first Super Bowl champion to lose that opener since ever.
That had nothing to do with it.
They started doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's 13 years since a defending champ has lost.
Right now, the Jets are the only ones that my emotions affect my picks with them.
Oh, speaking of that, did you see? Well, first of all, there's a lot of issues, but the NFL, ESPN people, sent out an email with all their experts' picks yesterday. Did you see that Hugh Douglas, only person that didn't pick the Patriots to win the AFC East, picked the Jets to win the AFC, go to the Super Bowl. He does have them actually losing, I believe, in the Super Bowl, but he also picked Mark Sanchez as the NFL MVP. Are you freaking kidding me, Hugh Douglas? Why don't you take off your green Jets jersey and pick with your brain?
I know that this is an extreme, but if those things were to happen, I don't want to listen to Hugh Douglas tell me, see, I told you, because he told me nothing.
Right.
He's being a buffoon.
He would just be lucky.
Exactly. Yeah. It would be like Andy said with his Bo Jackson thing. Yeah, Bo Jackson's my favorite guy, and whatever the award is, I'm picking Bo Jackson.
Right.
Yeah, you might be right.
Well, greatest athlete ever, yes, Bo Jackson. But you did get some support. What made me laugh is they said of the 24 people blank picked, and then I counted, and there's only 23 people listed, so I don't know if they forgot to include somebody, but Cam Newton, John Gruden's pick for MVP.
I think it's a legitimate pick.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. He's the most overrated player in the NFL by far, bar none.
You don't think that he was the main reason that Carolina were as good as they were last year? I mean,
that's not the same as winning the MVP. You're going against Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, the guys who truly lead their teams to perfection all the time.
You can't go 6-10 and win the MVP.
No, I don't think you can either.
He is the next Michael Vick, a very
exciting player. But I don't think they're going to go 6-10.
I think they're going to be better. Matter of fact, I came very close. Ask Andy. I told him I came very close to picking them to make the playoffs. But I don't think they're going to be. I don't think he's going to be an MVP.
He's too erratic.
Okay.
His accuracy is not yet there. He's intriguing, but year two.
You're not impressed with the year he had as a rookie?
As an athlete, or as the guy who's better than Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees? Because that's what you got to be if you want to win the MVP award.
And don't forget, you have to do those things. And this might be right, wrong, or indifferent. You have to do it a little bit more conventionally to top those guys that Andy just talked about. Because the media, they're not ready. Let's just say for argument's sake that the Panthers went 12-4 last year instead of 6-10. I don't think Cam Newton would have gotten MVP consideration because it wasn't the same.
Even when Michael Vick was the MVP candidate, it was because he was starting to play the position like you have to play the position.
We don't like it when it changes. And like I said, it's not right. You know, but the media, I think, would have to really see something over a sustained period of time, say, oh, you know what? The game has changed, and this is how you have to be now. But otherwise, I think they're going to lean toward a guy like Rodgers or Brady or Brees who does it way they want to see it.
All right.
Most overrated player on the
planet. I did laugh. There was one of those things. I was Shalice from the Boston Globe, Shalice Manza-Young, tweeted out that I think there was out of those, what did you say, there's 23?
Well, they said there were 24, and then they listed 23.
Nine out of the 23, nine out of the 24 predicted the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that
was two of them picked them to win it.
I think that was
And
it.
Shalice tweeted out, but just two of them picked them to win it. So I retweeted her, I wrote, just, in quotes.
And really only one of them, because one of them was Teddy Bruschi, who also picked Brady to win the MVP. But He's a little bit of the Hugh Douglas.
Just two picked them to win the Super Bowl, and we're looking at, you know, and someone goes, oh, great, underdog status. I'm like, sorry, but when 9 out of 24 pick you to go to the Super Bowl, you ain't an underdog.
Right.
hard as you may try.
Speaking of predictions, Phil in England writes in. He says, I don't know if you have seen this, but the three guys at ESPN Boston make some interesting predictions in yards and points by the defense. Both Reese and Yates have us top 10 in points allowed and 15th and 17th in yards allowed.
Shocker.
Rodak is a little more cautious with 22nd in points and 27th in yards.
22nd
in
points.
That's worse than last year.
That's like a five-spot drop
from
last year.
What happened to Mike Rodak?
I love him.
He's gone to the dark side.
Just interested in your thoughts. I myself side more with Rodak's predictions. By the way, Eric, I didn't enjoy your Twitter love with Greg Bedard over the weekend. Get a room.
It really was uncomfortable.
What did they do?
Nothing.
They tweeted each other?
So what do you think about that? I mean, where do you think? I think the Patriots are going to be a middler defense.
Yeah.
I think they will improve. They were a middler last year in points allowed. So they might even improve in that a little bit. But I think in terms of yards, which is the flawed way that they rate defenses.
Except when we're number one, and it'll be the right way.
I think that they'll be middle of the road, which is a huge improvement.
I'm cautiously optimistic that they will be improved on defense.
Okay.
Yeah, Rodak apparently thinks they're going to be worse than last year because jumping to 27th in yards isn't really that big a deal if you fall to 22nd in points.
Yeah, and I am cautiously optimistic as well. I like the moves. I'm just not sure how quickly it will come together.
But I'm not sure they're a top 10. Although you take away those two late touchdowns against the Colts, they were a top 10 scoring defense last year.
Well, and the other thing about that is I think the offense helps to keep the other team's points down. I think when you have big leads and you get one-dimensional,
sure.
It's just
especially this year when you might actually have like a legitimate pass rusher or two that are developing that you just say, Chandler, I don't care what you do on this, go get him.
Like, well, a lot of people, you talked about that joke about, if you take away the fourth quarter of the Colts game. I don't think the Patriots allow a lot of cheap points.
Right.
I think to the contrary, they are getting moved on fairly consistently until their offense bludgeons the other team into submission and finally the game's over and the other team doesn't move the ball anymore.
Kerry Byrne, who again hosts Cold Hard Football Facts on this internet radio station, is submitting a weekly column for us. And his first one, I think, is posted as of now on Patriots.com. And he looked at the Patriots, what has kept them from winning a Super Bowl the last 8 years, and kind of makes the case that you guys have been talking about. Just a little bit more help on defense.
He emphasizes defensive passer rating against.
Well, there's a lot of stats that he uses in it, but the interesting one I thought where the defense does come out pretty good or has come out pretty good is in how hard they make it for teams to score a point. And it was something like 136 yards per point that the Patriots were forcing teams to gain. So, teams had to gain.
That's part of what I'm talking about. When you have a big lead and the other team drives 70 yards, well, they're not going to kick a field goal because they're down. And I think there's a lot of points that get taken off the board, potentially. And that's why I don't think it's just the be-all, end-all is points. Now, obviously, wins and losses is the be-all, end-all at the end of the day. But I don't think their defense was as good as the point allowed total suggested it was last year, and they were middle of the pack.
Right, but see, you add in time of possession. See, they couldn't get off the field. So, yes, they were making teams, gain a lot of yards per point, but they weren't getting off the field. So what? You know what I'm saying? But it's an interesting article by Kerry that's up on Patriots.com, and he's going to be contributing not just articles on the Patriots, but NFL-type stats articles throughout the season on Patriots.com.
Good. That's a nice addition.
It's a great addition to our brand.
Mark writes in, and
Cheddar.
From Cheddar. Hey, guys, in the international BBC personality.
That's me.
I have renewed my PFW subscription for another 3 years.
Cha-ching.
International. So, what, you win the lottery?
So thanks to all of you, especially Eric, who is superb in the paper. Now on to a pick'em game.
Apparently you are blind. You can't read.
He's one of your, a colleague. You can't do that.
Why not?
I agree. That's exactly how I would describe him. My relationship with him is
no, he's your
a
best
colleague.
Buddy. You guys get drinks together all the time.
Now on to a pick'em game. Nice and simple. I have a scenario and two names. You pick the name. More TDs this season, Hernandez or Gronkowski?
Gronkowski.
More yards from scrimmage this season, Salas or Vereen?
What? Vereen.
Yards.
Salas.
He's a wide receiver.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody. Okay.
Who are you thinking of? This could be good.
No, because I looked at his name and I thought, what's his name? The safety, Gregory. Because his name is Greg Salas. So I was thinking Steve Gregory. That's how my mind works. I'm sorry.
You say Salas?
I was thinking.
I say Vereen.
I'm going to go Vereen.
I could really change my mind when you tell me that he's going to be out for 9 weeks with the worrisome injury.
That's why I'm saying
about.
Salas.
Well, I tried to find out yesterday. Did you see he tweeted, "Are you ready for some football?" And I replied,
Are you?
Right. I mean, healthy, are you? He didn't reply.
More sacks this season, Jones or Cunningham?
Jones.
But maybe Cunningham.
Okay, so which is it?
I'm going Jones, but maybe Cunningham.
More interceptions this season, McCourty or Arrington?
Arrington.
He's got that magnet in his chest.
More
forced fumbles this season, Spikes or Hightower?
Why do you say more opportunities?
I think he's going to have more opportunities for interceptions.
He's going to play more than McCourty?
No, I think he's going to throw at him more.
It's hard to throw at a person more than they threw at McCourty last year.
I agree. I think they're going to throw more at Arrington this year.
Why would they do that?
Because I think McCourty's going to bounce back a little bit.
Oh, well, that's good.
Jeez, I have to draw a picture for you.
You just said, threw something out there. More opportunities. Well, Based on the way McCourty played last year, I don't think it's far-fetched to say he could be benched at any time in his career moving forward.
No, that's fair.
So I needed a clarification.
That's
you
fair.
Think he's going to be better, not worse. Because if he's worse, he's on the bench. He's riding the pine, even though it's not pine anymore. What was the next one?
Metal.
More
plastic, actually.
Did you give me the forced fumbles, more forced fumbles, Spikes or Hightower?
Spikes.
I think Spikes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
More big plays this season.
Notice
Mayo,
it wasn't
0-0.
No, notice it wasn't Spikes, Hightower, or Mayo.
More big plays this season. Mayo or Ballard?
Ballard. Oh, that ain't right.
I see what he did there.
Oh, Mayo. Mayo's a nice guy. Leave him alone.
More passing yards.
Mayo stopped by Andy and I on his way out of the locker room. Said hello to us today. Hey, I love Mayo.
Made me feel bad again that I didn't have. I made a snide.
You guys underrate him, but. People
yeah, the Patriots
know,
overrate him.
People who know.
Know that he doesn't make any big plays.
Respect Gerard Mayo.
Who?
GMs and people.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Are you saying we don't respect Gerard Mayo?
No, I didn't say that. I said you underrate him.
But then you just said people who know respect Gerard Mayo, as if to say that Andy and I
his
don't.
His full talent.
Because we do respect him very much.
Not his full talent.
And like
I don't
him.
Think he's a playmaker. Doesn't mean I don't respect him.
More passing yards this season, Brady or Rodgers?
Brady.
It's a tough one.
Not for me, Fred. My allegiances lie in this building.
Well, see, I think that the answer is...
I think it's a dead heat, so I'll go with the homer.
Well, it's a dead heat, and last year it was a dead heat. I'll say Brady, but the reason...
It almost pains him to say that.
No, I'm trying to forecast... To be honest with you, I'm trying to forecast the defense, which defense improves. Because if you get better on defense, maybe you won't have to throw for 5,000 yards next year.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to... You know, wasn't necessarily a
homer
thing.
Conditions of the game.
But both defenses were awful last year.
Right.
Right?
Right. And both defenses drafted six players. And everybody says, I think it was Kerry Byrne had a big story about all this thing, six players, this increase, blah, blah, blah. But it's also a question of who's going to run the ball, too. If Josh McDaniels wants to establish the running game, that cuts into Brady's passing yards.
So it's
so it wasn't necessarily like an anti-Brady pick if I said Rodgers, but I still think Brady will throw.
More wins this season, Jets or Bills?
Jets.
Bills.
I'm
going to go Jets.
5-4.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that, but I'm going to go Jets.
And a quick over-under, number of days until Eric goes up to Michael Mauanui and tells him that he pronounces his own name wrong. 4.
By the way, that wasn't bad, though. You just did.
Mauanui?
Mauanui.
Although Eric wrote it differently. He wrote it. He wrote H-O something something.
I didn't hear him say ho.
But Eric says he wrote it out for them. Later somebody asked and they actually had him write it out phonetically. So even though the guy
said maybe he's using the H almost like silently like you would like, you know, like an historic.
Right,
sometimes
right.
You say.
I have no idea.
And yeah.
And we also get an email that says we don't say the word Samoan right.
Yeah. What did they say?
Samoan.
Yeah.
Really?
It's supposed to be Samoan.
I tell you, this is why I love this show, Freddie. I learn something on this show at least once a week.
If we take that email as word for
that's
it.
One of those.
Because I've never heard anyone pronounce
and you'll
it
never see me say it publicly that. Until I know for a... Because that's one of those, you look like a real ass.
Well, it's like...
Go on Comcast. Well, you know, they got this new Samoan tight end.
Well, it's like...
What was that, Andy?
Like, you know, Oregon.
We could do it tomorrow night together.
A lot of people around here say Oregon, but it's Oregon.
I thought it was like Oregon.
Oregon.
That's how you're supposed to say it.
The Oregon.
But I've heard a lot of people say Oregon.
Yeah, that's not right.
Right.
I know that's not right.
Ken writes in, looking at the schedule, he wants to know, is it possible that the Patriots could go undefeated on the road this season? The only hard game I see is Baltimore and maybe the Jets. Baltimore really isn't that good without Suggs, and Lewis is now a year older. Do you think it's possible to go undefeated on the road this year? Really, there are the tougher games, I think, are at home. Texas comes here, right?
There's more tough games.
Denver comes here.
There are more tough games at home than on the road. Right. I think that's accurate.
Except for this Titans one that Freddie's all worried about.
As we saw last night, anything can happen on opening night, you know?
No, it went exactly as planned. You said it was as planned.
Now, you touched on something that
you struck a nerve.
I have to leave soon.
You cut through the blubber and struck a nerve.
Don't get me going.
Never mind then.
All right.
Where are you going?
I have seen that as I heard them saying the word shocker last night.
Oh no!
But that's so I didn't strike a nerve with you. Then.
No,
I
that's
feel the same way.
That's not a shocker.
ESPN's a shocker to open the NFL season. Sorry, but that's a pick 'em game.
Right. It's only a shocker based on the 13 years or whatever you said of
I thought the Giants would win. I think the Giants are better. I think they're a better team. But am I shocked that Dallas? No, I wouldn't have taken the points if I was shocked.
Did I also see that one every 48 carries was the fumbles for David Wilson?
Yeah. 48 touches, I think.
I knew he had an issue, but that's more than an issue. That's
I laugh.
That's fatal flaw.
Yeah. I think on NFL Network they had, because they were like wall to wall preview of that game last night. NFL, as they should be. It's the NFL kickoff, and they had David Wilson goals for rookie season, and he had like yards, touchdowns, average per carry, and then it said no fumbles, and I think it was his third touch.
Yeah, something.
He
like
fumbled.
Right, right.
And then he cried.
He did. He's done.
Yeah. All right.
Where are you going?
I have a doctor's appointment.
Oh, that's right.
That I can't skip. So.
Where's Eric?
Eric will be here soon with the practice report and also the, no, there was no Bill Belichick press conference today.
Correct. Negative.
No
so
Belichick.
So he'll have the practice report and you
what
guys
about
will
your
do.
Picks?
I'll give them to you afterwards.
I trust him.
Yeah. I don't.
I don't.
He always goes 16-0 in week one and then we catch him.
All right. So
I think I caught him last
We'll take a break right now. I'll get going. You guys will finish up the show. Eric's coming with the practice report and as far as I'm concerned, see you next Tuesday.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call ** NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
No Freddie in the big seat, Andy, but I'm here and you are still here. Doesn't that make it our show?
The A-Team.
The A-Team. PFW in Progress. We'll take you down the last 45 minutes. We will finish today with our week one picks from around the NFL. Andy's already 0-1. I am already 0-1.
Just trying to get
Eric is already 0-1. Although I'm sure Eric feels like there was some sort of slight.
Of course. Woe is Eric.
That needed to be changed. And we'll hear from Eric probably in about another 10 minutes or so. The media portion of practice was set to begin at 1:15. So we'll see if there are any changes to the attendance report. Other than that, I want to get back to the Titans game because we really, you know, haven't talked about it. We only had two shows this week instead of our normal three.
And we had to deal with all the post-cut hoopla.
Correct. So we really haven't given, I don't think, enough attention to the Titans, a team that maybe some of our listeners aren't as familiar with. Certainly I'm not as familiar with as many of our other opponents.
So now's not the time for me to tell you that I wanted to read a headline from the Drudge Report.
Oh, no, sure. If you have something that's entertaining.
Woman attacked by rabid beaver.
Anytime you get the chuckle from behind the glass that's audible, I think you've hit your mark.
And Kevin, Beaver Stadium.
Kevin came through with a nice chuckle right there. Wow.
Maybe it's in Tennessee. Maybe there's a tie-in. Should I check?
Oh, boy. So you can keep your emails coming. If you have questions about this game, I have some questions about this game, too.
Save a tree. Eat beaver.
Okay.
Beaver Stadium.
Dick Stadium.
Dick like Stadium.
Dicks and beavers.
Web radio at patriots.com, as Adam Pac-Man Jones would say.
See, you can give us a call.
I learned
even
a lot.
It's the last 30 seconds. Give us a call at 508-298-0398.
See, I learned a lot from a professional host.
Edelman loves dicks as well.
Aside from beavers. Chris Johnson, Andy.
We got dicks, we got beavers, and we got Johnsons.
Really, I need to reel you in. Aside from Chris Johnson, is there anything that the Titans can do that is at all worrisome to you?
Well, I think, what's his name, Jared Cook, the tight end, Anytime a tight end is like a 4-5 guy and you're a team that has struggled to cover the tight end, I don't know, for about 5 years now, and you have new faces in the middle of the field like Steve Gregory, so there could be, and Patrick Chung, assuming, would be out there, but if something were to happen to Chung, all of a sudden you could have Wilson and Gregory on the field together. I think that's a concern when you have an athletic tight end who, when he breaks a tackle, could be gone.
And I should add, Fred was preoccupied with the fact that Stephen Ridley wasn't on the injury report because, you know, we have to have that running game at full gear. But Patrick Chung, full go nowadays at practice. He shed the red jersey.
Shed the red. I like it.
A couple of days ago. And he
shed the red, donned blue instead.
He appears to be good to go. So that's a good sign to have him and Gregory out there.
I'm
talking about for Sunday.
Yeah, but
stay on point.
As Bill Belichick would play, you're only one play away, and Tavon Wilson is one play away.
And what else do we say? Depth in
That's
September.
Right. Depth on September 5th is not the same as depth on September 7th or whatever the hell day the game is.
Well, today is the 6th. The game's on the 9th.
Whatever. You got my point.
I did get your point. They've struggled with tight ends in the middle of the field. That's your point.
Jared Cook is a tight end who could burn past them with ease.
Jared Cook is an athletic tight end that I do think is better than his numbers show. I think he is capable of having a big game. Kenny Britt is their number one wide receiver, and he is not going to play in this game. He's serving a one-game suspension for
being a douchebag,
a DUI that he had in July, which, by the way, just, you know, for those of you keeping track at home, his 8th run-in with the law since being drafted by the Titans in 2009. I don't understand how this is a one-day suspension. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is.
Especially,
I don't get it.
DUI, I mean, I know you could say no one died, but a DUI is one step from someone dying.
Jonathan Vilma got suspended for the entire season for his role in a bounty scandal.
But I don't even care about
that.
This
guy got one game for his 9th arrest.
No, because now you're mixing on and off field. I don't care about that. I'm talking about off-field issues. A DUI, you're a half a step away.
But that's my point.
From being Leonard Little. You're a half a step away from killing someone. And to me, if you want DUIs to go away, you send a message. Right? You don't say, oh, well, it was only a DUI. It's only, you know, his 8th brush with the law. If you want him to go away, you send a message and you make DUIs major violations because people can die anytime you get a DUI.
Yeah, but
and
so,
I'm not saying that I'm holier than thou or all
I
that.
I know you're not.
But if you want them to go away, and DUIs have been a major issue in the NFL in the last year or two, and that's a problem to me. That's something that I'd want to put the squash on if I'm the commissioner. I think you have to make an example of a guy who's a multi-time offender.
Yeah, I agree. And I brought up Britt because, you know, he is their, by far and away, their number one target, and he's out. But they do have a rookie who intrigues me, and that's Kendall Wright.
Intrigued them, too.
You know, he's a kid out of Baylor, really, really good speed. He's only a rookie, so you never know how a guy's going to react in his first game. All accounts out of Tennessee, pretty solid preseason, pretty solid summer. He concerns me a little bit. I don't know how you feel about it. What do you think about Kendall Wright?
I think he's a good young receiver. I think insert receiver here with quarterback here, and it concerns me against Patriots pass defense. Till they prove to me that they are not as susceptible to the pass as they were a year ago, I assume they're as susceptible to the pass as they were a year ago. You know, I base my concerns on long-term concerns on, like, Fred, who creates concerns in his mind about aspects of the team that are strengths.
Don't waste the shots at Fred when he's not here.
Okay, sorry.
Although it is fun. We can keep doing it. And the number one receiver with Britt
out. Ever seen a rabid beaver?
Is Nate Washington, by the way, who, in his defense, turned in a pretty solid season without Britt last year.
Sure.
Had 1,000 yards, his first of his career. And he is a guy that can get deep a little bit. So maybe if you're not careful. And I also want to talk about something with the running game that we started to talk about a little bit earlier when we brought up Chandler Jones and his ability to maintain his discipline. And something that I read, Andy, and as a linebacker, you know, as a former linebacker, I'm interested in your views on this. And I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious.
Don't care for the tone.
No, I have no tone in this at all. And I'm wondering if you think there's any truth to this. I read this, and it's something that Philadelphia, LeSean McCoy, uses to his advantage. Because you have a quarterback, and this is the theory, and you tell me if there's any truth to it. Because you have a quarterback who is a threat to bootleg, you know, he's going to occasionally play action and roll out around you if you're not careful as the defensive end. That keeps you honest. during the course of the game, you might not be pursuing plays backside as much as you would because you have a quarterback who is going to put it in the guy's belly and keep it a couple of times a game.
Perfectly legitimate.
Okay? That, in turn, said theory goes, helps a guy like LeSean McCoy and could help a guy like Chris Johnson, who is constantly looking for cutback lanes, and he's quick enough to get through them, and they could be there because the pursuit isn't as strong as it might be with a non-mobile quarterback.
I think it's a decent theory. Now, the one aspect I will say on a lot of stretch plays, tosses, things to the outside, they leave the backside guy unblocked anyway. So he's... They're not expecting him to make the play whether he is fearful of a boot or not, would be my point. I think it does. It buys you an extra half a quarter of a second, whatever it is. But I think generally speaking, you don't expect that guy to be involved in the tackle anyway.
Right. Some people think that that's helped McCoy a little bit last year.
It may have.
Having Vic as his full-time quarterback, and you know, he really keeps those backside guys honest.
You know what I think helps McCoy? Pretty damn good.
Well, he's good. He's good. And Chris Johnson is good, too. Now, how good is he right now? I don't know. You know, 2 years ago, he was as good as anybody. Last year, not so much. So we'll see where he fits. Is he somewhere in the middle? Because if he's somewhere in the middle, that makes him pretty, you know, pretty damn good. I just look at the Patriots front seven, and maybe I'm, you know, sort of putting too much stock on the summer, but I think that they look pretty good.
Me too.
Stuffing holes against the run. I think this is exactly the kind of game that's made for Brandon Spikes. I think he throws to the football well.
Is he out there?
And I think that this is a game against a team like this where those guys can play three downs. Because I don't think that you necessarily need to get them off the field a lot when you're trying to worry about the running game. And I like the thing I'm most excited about with the Patriots defense isn't Chandler Jones and the ability to get after the passer, and it isn't any improvement in the secondary. It's those three linebackers. I'm most excited about seeing Spikes play regularly.
The SECD, as we call
it. And Hightower play at all. That's the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I still have my fears about those guys holding up against the run. Jones less so than Ninkovich. I can see teams running right at him. And, you know, the Titans obviously have... I was wowed by the David Stewart. I did not know he has started like seven straight years at right tackle for them, and they are like the longest running tackle tandem in the NFL, it's with him and Roos on the other side. But they could certainly look to run at those guys. And to me, those guys need to prove they can hold up to that they are able to fight that. And maybe they can. And maybe all of a sudden you see Brandon Dedrick on the field at left end or somebody else. But Will Fork is a given. At this point in his career, Love is kind of a given. Spikes, to me, when he's on the field, is a given. And Mayo is a given. So the non-givens are Ninkovich, Jones, and Hightower. Two new guys and one guy in a new position that I want to see prove themselves against a team that wants to run the ball a little bit.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the flat screen TVs, the new monitors in the locker room. Well, Jonathan in Florida says that maybe they put the TV in the locker room so the players could all watch the DNC together. Fred didn't get the invite. He's a little upset about that. I immediately thought,
Wait a minute. Is Deval Patrick really going to be a presidential candidate?
Oh, I don't know.
They're talking about him like a litmus test, his big speech at
I actually thought he came across quite well.
I don't care for him.
I would be scared to death.
They're
if
talking
that never
about
happen.
Like as a legitimate candidate in 4 years.
And that's exactly what happened to Obama, by the way. He had a bang up performance at the Democratic National Convention that was here in Boston.
Right, but I would argue that.
And then all of a sudden, you know, years later, he was the president.
At least Patrick is a, you know, practicing governor. I feel like Patrick had a little better experience level.
Anyway, Jonathan immediately thought what Andy thought. Perhaps during halftime they can put up some pictures of coverage slash video from the first half to help them make adjustments for the second half. But maybe when it's not a game day, they keep it to something fluffy to keep the mood of the team light. And he lists his favorite channels slash shows. Gronk, Cartoon Network, MTV and Comedy Central, Brady, Style, Golf, Lifetime. I like the subtlety of the Lifetime.
Yes.
Jones and Spikes, Spike TV, so they can watch Bones Jones in UFC, and Brandon can tell everyone it's his channel. O-line, D-line, Food Network, O-line, CMT, D-line, BET. Jeff Demps, Speed. Hernandez, Telemundo, LA Inc. Belichick, Catani, Military Channel. Ross Ventrone, QVC, when they sell knives as he attempts to learn how to not get cut so much. Mankins and Solder, Animal Planet. Zoltan Mesko Sci-Fi PBS Charity Drives. Wide receivers bass fishing because they like to watch things get caught. That's tough. Alfonso Denard. True TV cops, various courtroom dramas. Will Fork, ABC Family. Kraft, Financial News. Fred, History, HGTV. Eric, Arts and Entertainment. What's Logo?
No idea.
Bob Ross reruns. I don't know what Logo is. Paul, AMC, Turner Classic. Andy, Cinemax. And a high number pay-per-view channel. Well done, Jonathan. You made me laugh. That was very good. But there are, we also have some emails here about the Titans game itself that I haven't read yet, but we'll read them now.
Okay. Thanks James, for explaining how this show works to us.
James, in, he's you know, the world's most interesting Patriots fan.
Yes.
Why have we not
good
heard...
Good cookies today, James, by the way. Good cookies.
Why have we not heard the usual conspiracy theories of Kenny Britt's suspension being geared to help the Patriots? Would have thought the Spygate Demps IR crew would be all over this.
Well, because he should have been suspended for about five more games.
Yeah, but it's a fair point, though. I mean, you had to make sure it was one because the Patriots are playing.
The only person who believes that is Paul Perillo. and his brother, Rich.
You know me so well. Christian, can't wait for this game. In my eyes, the Pats luck out yet again with no Kenny Britt in this game. I think if they stop CJ, which they will, the Pats win this one going away. Pats roll 41-14 in Brandon Lloyd's coming out party.
I'm not sure it's quite that easy.
yeah, well, he says, great job yesterday on Felger and Maz by me, even though Maz button-hooked you in leading off the segment by asking if you lost any weight. All right.
What did you say?
I started laughing hysterically.
Okay.
He didn't really button-hook me. Well, see, I actually think that he was being serious, but I just started laughing so hysterically that they made a joke out of it.
You should have just said, no, I'm just sitting next to Beetle.
Oh, that's not right.
Why? The truth is never mean.
Yes, it is. It's very mean. Why? I don't know why you think that. Who told you that someday? The truth is never mean.
I think I came up with it on my own.
You're a raving a-hole. Oh, that's not mean. It's the truth.
I am.
Jay in Kansas City says, how about the first penalty to kick off the season? Clipping. There's been some talk about how new referees might create a more dangerous atmosphere for players. Was this flag simply a statement to the league and the fans? According to the replay, the flag was thrown on was clearly not a clipping infraction. Is it possible the refs simply wanted to set the tone that they are to be taken more seriously? I couldn't disagree more with that. It was absolutely, it might not have been clipping, but it was a block in the back. They called it clipping. It was, you know, 10 yards, 15 yards, I don't care. You know, it was a penalty. I mean, it would have been, oh wait a minute. Not even worth going into because we have some research done. Robin in Alaska. Google research, : Samoa. Apparently, the Samoan language is phonetic and was essentially an oral language until, quote, recent history, unquote, when it got turned into a written language as well. In addition to that, there are tremendous tomato versus tomato-like differences in how you say a given word. Do you know anybody that says tomato? Okay. In how you say a word.
But I do know someone who says potato.
Given really?
No.
Oh. Given the context of it, including but not limited to casual speech, formal speech, and ceremonial speech. Lastly, the commonly accepted way to pronounce the language in ethnicity is Samoan. S-A-M-O-N. Samoan?
Samoan.
Which you can listen to at howdyousay.com.
So it's not Samoan, like somebody in an email tried to tell us that there was an R in it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any R in there, according to Robin in Alaska. Who knows these things? What else we got here? Question from Dan.
What up, Dan?
For the love of Belichick, fix the stream. The random drops are starting to frustrating. The random drops are starting to frustrating.
Leave him alone. Don't poke the bear. I can sympathize with them. It's ridiculous that we have these problems for weeks and weeks on end.
On a football note, is there anything that can be done about the offensive line if Waters does not return?
What do you mean?
He's worried about the offensive line if Waters doesn't return. This is the part where, you know, you're the analyst and you're supposed to analyze.
They have what they have. They've moved on without Brian Waters.
Perfectly good analysis, Andy.
No, but, I mean, they're not going to sign any. I should probably shut my mic off if I move it a little. But
wow, it moved.
I mean, they have guys that they feel comfortable with on this team. I don't think they feel like there's a scramble to add anyone. Now, there may be a scramble to add somebody if Solder can't play left tackle. But I think they have a slew of guys who could play guard. Maybe not at a Pro Bowl Brian Waters level, but I think they're pretty comfortable with their interior depth. If they weren't comfortable with their interior depth, I don't think they would have cut Dan Copen.
And that's the rest of his email talked about that. That's what he's worried about. These guys couldn't make the team, and he's worried about the depth inside there. And
you know. Plus, I wouldn't be surprised to put Copen in my Deion Branch, Bobby Carpenter category. I think the Patriots have their number, and I think those players would accept a call that said Gillette Stadium motherboard.
Yeah, probably. GA in South Carolina fills me in that logo is a, quote, gay-friendly channel.
Oh.
Ha-ha.
Wait, GA filled you in? Gay?
That was his initials, GA.
That's gay.
Okay.
Or as your son would say, gah.
Mike says, Andy, you are a raging a-hole, but an entertaining one at that. And he leaves a subject line, truth without compassion equal cruelty.
I when people call me an a-hole, I don't take that as being mean.
Earlier
it's
in the
observation.
Show, we had a call from
Nick and Victoria.
Tom? Was it Tom?
Tom, who
has his own
for the first time
website.
Ever, you guys covered it better than
correct.
I could.
Well, he nailed Andy and Paul. He puts a song on me, but you took it the same exact way. So I'm going to say he nailed us to a T here. He says, earlier in the show, a caller said he felt you guys had done a better job during the Patriots offseason than he'd done for a change. I had a mental picture of Paul silently going zero to hot. Then he sprung into action with a two-part attack. He called the guy on the backhanded compliment and then quickly asked to hear the guy's football writer's credentials. No way was Paul going to take that sitting down from some jag calling from his couch at home.
Who listens to us while he cleans the
man,
kitchen.
Man, Perillo, how cantankerous can you get?
Why does he clean his kitchen so often?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. But I will admit that when someone calls up and says, for once, you guys did better than I could do, that's, you know, your whole truth is never mean thing. I mean, the guy might think it's the truth, so it's not mean. That's an a-hole thing to say.
Plus, I didn't really think we did anything all that
different. Well, that's kind of what I was really curious about, is we didn't really make any revolutionary changes to our coverage this year. We did it as thoroughly as we always do.
So the guy's an a-hole. What do you want me to tell you?
Well,
I'm okay with him being an a-hole. I'm an a-hole. World needs a-holes, too. If it didn't, we'd all be full of...
what?
Poop.
No?
Are you going to read an email? I don't know what you're doing over there, but you're making Fred look like a master
when you,
host.
When you
like Ryan Seacrest.
When you,
you are making Fred out to be Ryan Seacrest.
Will you please stop it? You were in the middle of saying something. I didn't know you were done. All of a sudden, it's like a half a second of dead time.
I was filling air because you were staring aimlessly into
the
screen.
I'm looking at the different
and you
emails.
Said, no.
I'm trying to find emails that are topical to, you know, the game. Is that all right? Evidently, everybody doesn't have any concerns whatsoever about this game because we had about five emails about Tennessee. And
I don't.
No one else cares.
I don't.
You don't have any interest in the game?
No, I don't have any concerns.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the season opener. I would think that people want to talk about it. Evidently, they don't. So we'll just continue with stop no white trash reality crap talk. Stop using my sonic screwdriver. That's the kind of stuff that we got. I don't get it. Don't understand it.
I don't know what that means.
Now you know why there was a, you know, 5-second period of dead air.
What's a sonic screwdriver?
I have no idea. We got another chuckle from inside the glass, though. Let's see. Raphael.
What's a sonic screwdriver? Is that like a Urban Dictionary?
I think it's just a mobile device, but I'm surprised you didn't make a, like, your mom's using a sonic screwdriver.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but I didn't.
Raphael, next up. So you guys didn't have a show on Tuesday because of Patriots Monday on WEEI. Isn't there another studio right across from you guys, the old ESPN Boston studio?
Yep.
I got the feeling you guys don't mind when EEI takes your studio. Actually, to the contrary.
We mind quite a bit.
Andy and I get pissed off about it.
But we have no pull around here. Unlike Josh McDaniels, who apparently can sign anyone he wants, we don't have much say in important matters.
Yeah, the problem is we're streaming WEEI from our website, and we can't cross the streams.
Remember when Kevin once tried to have two things streaming, and you could hear live mics from guys testing microphones in the background over a replay?
That one never gets old. That one, the truth is funny, Andy. that truth isn't mean.
I can't see him, so I don't know if he finds it.
Besides that, I happen to think that if they convert Hernandez to a full-time receiver.
And let's talk about the flags, by the way. I know this is on a road
game. It would
game.
Be a change for the worse. What? Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to engage Kevin for a minute, okay. Since Eric's not here yet, so we can't start picks yet. What's the deal with those flags on our home field?
Flags.
Like the celebratory Patriots flags that, you know, most places have them. They're like 10 by 20 and ours is,
you
like,
you know, the flags that are about
five.
As big as this napkin that I'm holding up right now.
Most places, the men carrying them struggle to
get
them up.
Oh, I see what you
some
mean.
Some places you need more than one.
The guys that run out with the, yeah.
Ours are lame.
They're interns, I think.
Like the little flags that people put in their windows when they drive to the game on Sundays.
Yeah.
Most
That's
places
what they
have
like.
Flags that are literally like 10 feet by 20 feet.
Yeah, no, I think that wasn't that new last year?
Oh, I thought it was this year. I don't remember it last year.
Yeah, I didn't remember it last year either.
I think we did it last year.
I don't think you did.
No?
No.
I thought we did it. I was against it because I thought it was more of like a bat. You see it at basketball arenas where it's just one guy with a huge flag.
Well, they do it on football.
Takes up the whole court.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's not lame when you have the real flag.
Not
here.
We
have a fake flag. We half-assed it.
All right. I'll have to look into that. Because also part of it may be the flag may not be as small as you think it is because of comparison with a football field in comparison to a basketball.
No. See, I'm always court. In the press box watching
and
these
it looks
things.
The same
so
size.
The perspective is always the same.
I know.
The perspective is always me far away and a really big flag with
small.
A guy who can barely hold it up.
Is that,
here, it's a guy
one,
with
though.
A toothpick going, wee hee, this is easy to woo, woo.
One guy can control it, and one guy shouldn't be able to control those
lame.
Flags.
All right. Like Night Court in the fifth season, lame.
Brutal.
Eric's back. Fresh
by.
With a
Eric's by. He comes by
with a cookie.
He's never
hand.
Comes straight. He always comes by.
I get it, Andy. He's wow. You got under his skin before he even spoke.
He was adjusting.
I do
his
you. I do you the favor of doing something I promised I would never do again, and got
First
you
of all,
excellent results.
Well,
you just completely
you didn't
disregarded
give me excellent results. You got me okay results, and you didn't ask the question I told you to ask.
Yes, I did.
No. I said, do they bring an inherent value to the team in terms of their attitude and their work ethic? And somehow I didn't get that question.
I phrased it the way it sounded when you were saying it, so.
I phrased it the way it sounded when you were saying it.
You're lucky I even asked it at all.
Yeah.
I didn't really care either way, but.
So what do you got for a practice update over there?
They're getting healthier. Only one guy missing from
happy
practice.
Happy boy.
You know how they say happy. Some places.
Gay.
Yes.
He asked me a question. I simply answered it.
Could have chosen another word, Paul.
Well, that was the first word. That was word association. That's what came to mind.
Because it's
so happy
always on your mind.
It's the sunshine day.
Yeah, Shane Vereen, the only one who's missing now.
Fred's not happy.
Nick McDonald is back in full pads.
Oh, McDonald back in pads.
Yes, he is.
Could he start at center?
Sure.
Why not? He did
I
last
know, everybody's
year.
Just kind of dubbed Ryan Wendell the
I made that comment to you yesterday. He went to great lengths to say nothing about whether or not he's starting. And
today he wouldn't talk to anybody.
I think they have any number of candidates that
he talked yesterday.
I didn't know your voice left you if you spoke one day and then returned the next.
They could do a lot. They could do
here.
A lot of things.
It comes and goes.
It's true.
I mean, they could decide that one of those guys is better at guard than center and put Conley at center. I don't think they will.
I don't think
it looks
they will
like
either.
It looks like Conley's going to play right guard.
Yeah.
But by any means, I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Wendell was not starting on
I
Sunday.
Think they need to settle on a five, though. Just get the starting five, go with that, and hope that they last. You think they're going to be a lot
see
of combinations?
Some movement at guard, right guard and center, and probably right tackle.
Without injury, you're saying?
Yeah. Or
well, I
yeah.
don't think there'll be movement at the tackles without injury. I think
no.
I think those two
well,
settle in. And
not right tackle without injury. There might be movement at left tackle without injury.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Inability could be movement at left tackle.
So everybody's back.
Everyone's
except for
back
Shane Vereen.
Except for Shane Vereen.
Any other tidbits that we need to delve into?
Not really. I've been trying
to
watch.
We're coming up against the clock here. We're going to have to do picks.
Yes. So. Yeah, we are. We do have to hurry.
Not really.
I've been trying to watch in the very limited, very, very limited time we have in drills.
So you're saying you don't get to watch very much?
No, we don't. Not like training camp, folks. Trying to just get a read on Greg Salas, just to see what kind of hands he has, what sort of player he might be. But it's tough when all they do is run straight line, jogging, turn around, catch. He hasn't dropped any passes that I've seen.
Well, that's good.
So that is good.
If he dropped it, that'd be bad.
Right. We don't want an Ocho situation.
Catching good, dropping bad. Yeah. I agree. We're all in agreement.
You sometimes see special teams, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kick return? We seen anything there?
No. With the special teams that they show us is mostly like Scott O'Brien gets the blockers together so that they can work on that type of scheme.
Because isn't kick return still kind of up in the air?
Sort of.
I mean, you either go with the incumbent, who is the, you know,
Woodhead,
human touchback,
mm-hmm.
or the guy who everybody was excited about is on IR.
Yeah, Demps.
And all the other guys they've tried, none of them really stood out to me.
No.
So,
McCourty might be in that mix. We saw him do it later in training. I know.
The only time he looked fast was on that. What was that? When he was flying right to left.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what the play was.
That was a pick, I think, in practice.
The only player
I got to have my mind defragmented.
Among other things.
The one player I would kind of like to see do that more often is Edelman, only because we know what he can do as a punt returner. And I know that it's slightly different skills for kick return, but he can do it on one. Why not see if he can do it there,
too? I'm
not
sure he's fast enough.
Yeah, he's gotten his opportunities.
Yeah.
He's looked terrible doing it.
I'm not sure he's fast enough. He's quick enough to make a couple guys miss, and if you do that on a punt, all of a sudden you have a 15-yard return.
Yeah.
If you do that on kicks, well, now you only got to the 20. You're still going to make – he's not fast enough, I don't think.
Yeah, and that might be part of the problem, is his quickness is better suited for punt returns, and he doesn't have the straight-line speed. But
the fastest guy on the team we don't want back there, Slater.
It's a small sample.
Yeah.
But he has had some opportunities and not looked very good doing it.
Nobody has.
No.
Tell me somebody who's looked good returning kicks. I would even say Demps didn't look that good returning kicks.
No, he didn't. But I would. But I would say, to Eric's point, I would rather see Edelman do it than Woodhead. I've seen enough of Woodhead returning
kicks. When
was
the last time we were excited about a kick return?
Brandon
Ellis
Tate.
Hobbs.
Brandon
108 Tate. Yard record return.
Brandon Tate.
Well, okay, yeah. Brandon Tate
had
ran a couple
in
for
the first
touchdowns.
5 weeks
true.
Of
That's true.
The 2010
Actually, Matthew
season.
Slater had one and then he fumbled, right? At the end of it. Didn't he get out to like the 45 and fumbled?
I never remember Matthew Slater.
Pretty sure he had one out to like the 45 and he fumbled it. Look that up.
Hmm.
You got something to look that up with?
You got a media,
got a media guide right here.
Matthew Slater, kick return, fumbled.
Fumble. Well, with the exception of the one that went off his face.
This was an actual return where as soon as he broke the first wave, he fumbled.
Woodhead had one in the playoffs in the AFC Championship.
Am I thinking of Woodhead?
Against Baltimore where he actually had a reasonably positive return and lost the ball.
What year
Then
was
he came
that?
Back on the next one and had a good another.
He came
return.
Here in 08?
Who?
Slater?
Sure.
Oh, wait, right?
What do we got here? Steven is in London. Wanted to talk about our roster discussion from yesterday.
Okay.
Fred's concerned about the offense because I don't know if you know, Eric, but
yes.
Fred's very concerned about the offense.
I have heard that. Yeah, I've heard
And Andy and I have been torturing him for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
But he's not concerned about the defense.
About said concerns. I was wondering if some of the worry comes because we think of Hernandez as a tight end rather than a receiver.
No, that has nothing to do with it. Thank you. Move on.
I have no concerns, so it has nothing to do with mine. if you list Hernandez on the roster as just, quote, possession receiver, then the roster looks pretty different. We have three highly paid starting receivers in Lloyd, Hernandez, and Welker, and three young backups in Slater backing up Lloyd, Salas backing up Hernandez, and Edelman backing up Welker. This is certainly on par and probably significantly better than most other NFL teams. Gronk is then the starting tight end. Fells is the blocking tight end. And we have...
Manamanua.
Thank you.
Whatever it was.
As the third tight end.
Manamanui.
If you think the offense is in balance, maybe try thinking of Aaron as a receiver who can block rather than a tight end who can catch.
No, that's irrelevant. Fred actually went through the phrase of, besides Brady, Welker, Hernandez, and Gronk, I don't know who I can count on.
But it is interesting, and I know that we do make too much of that whole Hernandez thing.
Yes, we
tight
do.
End, wide receiver. But it is interesting. If you look at it a little bit differently from that, than that.
I don't look at it any differently. I think
no,
the
I'm
Patriots
talking about for him. We don't
have
the
best core of passing game targets or one of the top two or three in the National Football League. I don't care how you break them down or list them or divvy them up.
I tried to say it to him yesterday. You're basically you're fretting about the fifth option.
Right.
I don't understand why he's so upset about it.
And the running game, if that's not any better, well then, we'll be in the Super Bowl again.
The Sonic Screwdriver is a reference to the TV show...
Doctor Who.
I knew he would know.
Of course he knows.
Looks more
he's a happy, happy man.
Looks more like a flashlight than a screwdriver to me that can open locks, control computers, and scan people and devices to gather information...
And get women off.
Not sure what the heck that had to do with the previous email content, though. That's from Katrina.
I'm going to...
In the waves.
I bet you she's got a Sonic Screwdriver.
Oh, my God.
But, that may have been
Are you
one
now
of-
doing your own rim shots?
No, he did it.
No, but you went, but right as.
No, but that may have been one of the weirder emails we've ever had. That one that just had like the random sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that from one of our whack job emailers?
It was from a regular emailer. I won't
embarrass
him. Bill? No.
Rich?
No.
Chris with the TIN?
No.
Strippers?
No. Might be in London.
James?
Paul?
Paul?
We might have circle, have a square. I believe it was from Paul.
He's got a sonic screwdriver, does he, eh? He's quite a pile of sticks.
All right, what do we got here? We have about another 10 minutes. Let's get a couple more emails in before we do picks.
I don't know how we're ever going to get all these picks done.
I want to kind of wait as long as we can just to prove
just
that
rush
we can get
through
it
them.
Done. There seems to be a feeling that the Pats need a fullback on the roster since Parcells left. I don't think there's been enough talented fullbacks in the league to justify a roster spot.
More like Kevin Turner. But.
Back in the day, we had a running back named Marion Butts that Parcells bought after his warranty had expired, who was good for about 2 yards and a carry. My friends and I preferred Sam Gash, the last great fullback that the Pats had, who was a
rookie
at that point.
Wait a minute, Marion Butts and Sam Gash are totally different players.
Marion Butts was a tailback.
A big tailback.
Yeah.
Yes. He seems a much better fit. So like the old Miller Lite commercials, we would chant, less Butts, more Gash. A lot of people used to chant more Gash at Patriots games. Anyway, different story. Until we ended up getting more Gash
for
the end of the season.
Eric's been chanting more Gash for 8 years now.
Are you with me, Andy? This guy wants to know if you're with him.
I'm with you. More fullbacks. I love them. We just haven't got the right one. I thought Spencer Larson might be the guy, and maybe Tony Fiametta will be the guy next year.
Yeah, that's possible.
Or maybe this big guy. I'm intrigued by the big guy.
Devlin?
James Devlin, whatever his name is.
Devlin, the details?
More problems. More problems with the stream. Really, really irritating.
Yeah, because we have the worst monkeys on the bleeping planet. I don't even know why we do this show anymore when the technology can't keep up with the talent.
Russ in England wants to know how many of the Josh's new guys hit the field on Sunday.
Fells will play.
Salas will play. Fells will play.
I'm not so sure Salas will play.
I think he'll play.
What other guys we got?
Omanawanui. I don't think he'll play.
He might.
He might be inactive.
He might be. I think there's a chance Salas
is
inactive.
Is it time to play the guess the inactives game? No.
Shane Vereen, I'll take.
Save it for Sunday.
I got Shane Vereen. Yeah. Shane Vereen here.
Yep.
Save it for Sunday.
Oh, is this what you do on Sundays?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try
guess
to figure
the inactives?
Out the inactives.
Before we go to the human boar, Eric Scalavino.
You know, that's not right.
He's been much better lately.
He's bringing it.
Did you see the passion he had there?
All right,
I hate both of you.
Oh, why? What? Now, why do you got to be so ugly?
You should have heard the guy earlier who called up and goes, you know, Tom, I really loved the this coverage this summer because for the first time ever, I can honestly say that you guys did the job better than I could do it or something. That was his compliment.
His compliment is, first time ever
first
you
time
guys
ever.
Covered camp better than I do.
Douchebag.
Hmm.
You know what makes him a real douchebag? I think he legitimately thought he was giving a compliment.
Oh, yeah, I was
That's
waiting for...
That's how you know you're a real douche.
I was waiting
I
for...
I say that all the time.
But I know I'm being a douche.
I was waiting for the chuckle.
You're
it
a
never
real
came.
Douche.
He never
As
chuckled.
As Fred says, if you're being an a-hole and you don't know you're being an a-hole, then you're a true a-hole.
Fred would know. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway.
Where is Fred?
He had a doctor's appointment. He had to leave.
A serious one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Paul made fun of him, and he said he almost died.
I don't recall that portion of the program.
Is
but
this
anyway,
what I'm missing on Sundays? This magic
no,
is what I'm
missing.
It's
much better. We have a real host.
That's true. I don't have to waste my time with
You have Adam Pac-Man-Jones with his ESPN TV radio.
RadioPatriots.com. Join us.
508-298-0398.
Let's call the press
said.
Box.
Yeah, he does.
You got to do this, too. You know?
And then occasionally he does the talk away.
Did you ever notice that, Kevin?
He's the only professional in the room, and he sits back in his chair and talks.
But the Patriots...
Are you already making fun of him?
That's what he does.
It's your own
that?
Guy right there you're killing.
What, you think Andy and I don't make fun of each other? Why would we make fun of him?
It's funny because he's fat.
What, you mean he's
right? See?
He's digging for gold nuggets on the air?
No. He Chicken just nuggets. Has like the... It's like he's little... it's like a tick. It's like a nervous habit. It's not. He's not picking his nose. He's
it's like kinda, Bilo's thing.
When he's deciding...
Which one?
Bilo's
got like
what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm Bilo's telling you.
A human
okay. If you'd he seen it in person, thing. You'd know exactly what I'm talking
it's
about.
Kind of like you with your hand in stand-ups where you don't know where to put it.
So anyway...
I know where to put it right now.
We are going to go through our picks really quickly.
Don't bang on the console!
No, it's a shtick. It's a shtick. Did I tell you the day
I like
after?
That.
Wait, this is real important. You know how we always joke?
By all
that
means, we have 6 minutes.
the Maddie in the Morning show is
oh,
like
yeah,
our
right.
show. But like he's Billy Costa. He's not really gay, but we make fun of him being gay. And like all
they
the
stole our shtick. Yes, I get
the
it.
The day after he yelled at him for banging on the table, they yelled at Billy Costa, "Stop banging on the table. This is a professional radio show." And I'm like, what are the chances that that happens?
Seriously, that happens far too often.
People
far,
listen to us
far
steal.
Too often.
I'm telling you, someday we're going to find out that we are like the root of all talent on the radio. The Big Show, the Sports Hub, all the most popular stations in Boston are stealing our shtick, making money off of it. We're nothing. We give free cookies, and thanks, James, for the free cookies.
All right.
I'm done.
I don't know how we're going to get these done in 5 minutes.
We did get it kicked off last night, and as Fred has already alluded to several times,
everyone's...
Fred was the only one who won both ways.
Oh, that's right,
ways.
He did go with the Cowboys.
So Andy's 0-1, both with the spread and overall, as is Eric. I am 0-1 picking the winner, but I am 1-0 with the spread. Fred is 2-0. He won with the spread and correctly picking the upset. Indianapolis at Chicago, we will lead off with Andy Hart, where the Bears are favored by 9.5 over Andrew Luck in his NFL debut.
I'm not feeling lucky about this one on the road. Soldier Field, tough place to start your career. I'll take the Bears to win, but I don't trust the Bears, so I will take those points. I wish it were a little bit more, but I will take those points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears, too, and I think maybe 13 points is the margin, but I think Andy's right. Luck keeps it close for a while, but just at the end, they make it a little late score to cover.
Okay, I am going to go with Andy. I think the Bears will win the game, but I will take the Colts to keep it close enough. And if I haven't said this several times already, I'll say it again. I think Andrew Luck is going to be a special quarterback. We'll get Fred's picks off the air. We'll move right along to Philadelphia at Cleveland. The Browns are at home, getting 8.5.
I will take the Eagles to win and cover. I like Whedon, but I think he's going to have a tough day with that Eagles front. You know, that's, according to our friend Dave Spadaro, one of the truly special defensive fronts in the history of the game. And I think the Eagles are going to roll early.
I don't like Whedon. I do like the Eagles in this game and the number. So I'll take the Eagles both ways.
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles both ways as well. I think that's just a mismatch. I think the Eagles are ready to put 2011 in the rearview mirror.
Except
Buffalo at the Jets. Big game for the AFC East.
Big game.
Second place at stake.
Big game for the irrelevant underlings in the
second place
AFC.
At stake. Jets by 2.5.
Where's the game?
At the Jets.
I'm going to say the Jets win this game. I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to get off to the hot start that he did last year and that the Bills need. I think these teams will bounce around all year, good, bad, win a couple, lose a couple. But I think the Jets get it done early.
I still like the Jets' defense, but I think the Bills are an overall better team, more balanced team. I think they get a good win on the road in the division. Bills both ways, Paul.
Be a great win for them to open the year.
Sure. I will take the Jets. I think, as Andy said, I think these two teams will be flip-flopping throughout the year as the team that you think is the second-best team. I don't think either one of them will emerge. I think
unless you're Hugh Douglas.
I think they're both very average, and I think the Jets are better, but not by much. Washington at New Orleans. Saints favored by 7. No coach, no linebackers, no personnel of any kind.
But luckily, they still have Drew Brees. They still have Jimmy Graham. And they still can put some points on the board offensively. So I am going to take...
Quickly.
I'm not buying. They did get dealt a little bit of a blow this week because Brandon Merriweather is hurt, so he won't start for the Redskins.
Which would be good for
the
Saints.
Last time we saw Brandon Merriweather start in the dome for a
sure.
team against Drew Brees,
he wasn't within 20 yards of a receiver.
Sean Springs was throwing him under a bus, and so that really hurts the Saints, but they still win in cover.
Yes, they
RG3,
do.
RG3, though, still fun to
watch. Yeah, like Andrew Luck, he will keep it close for a while. Saints will get the cover late.
Wonder what the bounty on his head is, RG3, to get him out of the game.
I think the Saints will win this game in a blowout. Don't think it'll be close. Jacksonville at Minnesota. Minnesota by 4.
Okay, Jacksonville A, Minnesota A. I really, you know what, I'm doing it. I am pulling for Blaine Gabbert. I think he has been so utterly...
Because he cut his hair?
An unfair... Did he?
I believe so.
Oh, then book it. Jacksonville wins. Blaine Gabbert now is a legit quarterback. But in all seriousness, he's been pooped on a little too much for a guy who they had no offensive line. They didn't have any targets, really. He was a rookie, probably an ill-prepared rookie, wasn't ready for a pro system. A lot of crap was thrown his way. I'm rooting for him. I want him to bounce back, and it starts against a Vikings team that should scare him because Jared Allen's on the other side.
Let me ponder that for a moment. I'm going to go with the Vikings. To win and cover at the Dome.
Yeah, I think Gabbert stinks.
I know. You're one of those people that poops on him.
But I didn't like him coming
you
out
poop
of college.
On him. Poop on him.
I didn't like him coming out of college.
This is a Ziggy Wilf versus Rashad Khan.
I think these are two.
Shahid Khan?
I think this is an interesting matchup of owners.
Two bad teams, by the way. I will take Minnesota. I'll go with the home team. Miami is at Houston.
Lone Wolf?
A lone wolf versus the con artist.
Houston by.
We're never going to get these games done if we keep doing this.
12. I'm just going to keep going.
Who's Houston playing?
The Dolphins.
Miami at Houston. Texans by 12.
Houston blowout. Best team in the AFC. Wilson Hart Power Index leaders for much of last season before they were injury riddled.
When are those coming out, by the way?
Bigs after week four. Thank you for asking, Eric. Miami Dolphins suck.
They do, and the Texans will win big at home. Win and cover Texans.
And Philbin will say, you know, I'm not saying you have to try to win next game. I'd like you to try to win, but don't get defensive now.
Yeah,
I'm going to take
Houston too. Some of the reasons that I was sort of optimistic about Miami have disappeared. They've decided to evidently just put it all with Tannehill. I don't really get that.
And he's just happy to be playing in the NFC North this week.
I saw that they got rid of Garrard. I think they might have been better off with a little bit of experience there, but they won't have it, and I think they're going to struggle. St. Louis at Detroit, Lions by 7.
Speaking of struggling, I'd like to pick my guy, the Sam Chise, but going into Detroit early in the year, he will have 15 late hits against him. He's going to be hurting, you can't yet count on Matthew Stafford being hurt, so Lions roll.
Detroit, that's a good team now.
That's a good team now.
They're going to make
Schwartzy.
They're going to make the playoffs.
If they're all out of jail in time, it's going to be a good game.
Yep. I like them to win big here against the Sam Chise.
I like the Lions as well, and Andy makes a good point, though. They could run up against a roster problem at some point if they're all in prison in the same week. Atlanta at Kansas City. Should be a good matchup. Atlanta, road favorite at Arrowhead. By 3.
Interesting. A road favorite at Arrowhead, which is generally the ultimate home field advantage for a Chiefs team that many think is going to bounce back, get all their injured guys back, could win the AFC West. I am going to pick with my heart in this one, not necessarily my head. I think this is a close game, so I'll take the home Chiefs and my buddy Romeo Crennel and Matt Castle and Eric Berry to get off to a good start. And Scott Pioli will leave the field that night chest held high.
With the logo on it.
It's true. For now.
For now. The Falcons do this to me every year. I get roped in, and they end up breaking my heart. I'm going to do it again, though. I'll take the Falcons on the road to win and cover.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I think they're a better team, and I can't believe that the Chiefs are underdogs at home in week one. San Francisco at Green Bay should be a great matchup in the NFC. Two of the perceived powerhouses. Packers by 5.
In Green Bay, Packers will win and cover. You have to score points when you go into Green Bay. I don't care how good your defense is. Packers are going to put up points. And Aaron, nope. Whatever the Smith kid out in San Francisco is not ready the quarterback.
Oh, Alex.
Alex, not ready to keep up with Aaron Rodgers. Packers roll in the first one.
Yeah, I like the Niners to keep it close early, but the Packers' second half will be too much. They'll win and cover at home.
Carolina is at Tampa Bay.
You didn't pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took Green Bay.
Just quick note out of ESPN. The only two teams that were predicted by all 20-whatever analysts to win their division, Niners and Texans, I found interesting.
Oh, that's because of the Hugh Douglas thing? Carolina at Tampa Bay, because I have not seen anybody not pick the Patriots, but that will be one.
And his MVP quarterback, Mark Sanchez, who may not be starting by October.
Buccaneers are another
MVP. MVP, league MVP.
Oh, my God.
You know, he bleeds green.
Buccaneers, another home dog, by the way, to Carolina. 2.5. Carolina favored.
Okay. The greatest player that's ever played the quarterback position, Cam Newton, coming into that Bucs stadium against Greg Schiano. Be interesting here. I am going to go with the visitors because I think the Panthers are a better football team. They have more talent on offense and defense, and they have the greatest gift that's ever been bestowed upon the quarterback position, Cam Newton.
You being facetious there? Why?
I think he's the most overrated player in the NFL at this point in his career.
Okay. Yeah, I have my doubts too, but he had a great rookie year, surpassed any of our expectations, I think, and I think that continues. I think you're right, Andy. They are the better overall team, and they deserve the being the favorite on the road.
I agree that I think Carolina is the more talented team. However, I'm going to take Tampa Bay to pull off a mild, very, very mild upset.
He just loves Belichick so much, he takes all his disciples.
Exactly.
Romeo.
That's a good point, though. I might have to... Never mind. Seattle at Arizona. Another home dog. The Cardinals.
This is a tough game to pick.
Getting 2.5.
Who?
Seattle at Arizona. Seahawks by 2.5.
Oh, this is a craptacular game. We got the 5'11" quarterback making his NFL debut against the quarterback who shouldn't be playing in the league, John Skelton. I am just going to go with Larry Fitzgerald. I'll pick the best player on the field, and I'll take his team, and that's Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I'm taking the home team, and that's really the only reason in this game. Cardinals winning cover.
I mean, when Bruce Irvin is coming off that edge at John Skelton, what's he going to do?
I am taking the Cardinals as well. Pittsburgh is at Denver, and the Sunday night game should be an interesting matchup. Peyton Manning's return against Ben Roethlisberger. No Ryan Clark for the Steelers because they're playing in Denver.
Right.
He can't play there.
Height issues. You know, the altitude. Yeah.
Denver, you have height issues.
Denver by 1.5.
He has altitude issues.
Denver by 1.5.
I am going to take, I'm going to buy in. You know, Peyton Manning is a entertainer. First game in Denver, home, Sunday night football. And I don't think the Steelers are all that good. You know, their best offensive player arguably missed all of the preseason. Their best offensive player arguably is coming off an ACL injury. Their best offensive player arguably is a quarterback who's already got 17 injuries, and I don't think their defense is going to be good. So I'm going to go Denver.
I know this is going to surprise you, Paul, but I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. I don't think
That's
Manning
the rapist for 700.
I don't think Peyton Manning is going to light up the world in Denver. I really don't. And I think it's going to start with
root against good stories.
With the disappointment in the opening week at home. Steelers are going to go in there and win.
I do think that Peyton Manning is going to have a terrific season. However, I am going to pick Pittsburgh to go on the road and do exactly what Dallas did. They're going to go to the place they finished their previous season in with a loss, and they're going to come out with a win. This is where Pittsburgh's season ended a year ago, and I think they started off.
You know, they know it doesn't matter as much, right?
I think there's, yes. I think there's a lot of emotion that's going to be with Peyton Manning. I think it might take him a little while to settle down, and I think Pittsburgh takes advantage of that. I think they find a way to come out with a hard-fought victory. Cincinnati at Baltimore is the first of the two Monday night games. Andy,
bum, 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 bum.
Ravens by 6.
I am going to take the upset. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton, what is he, the red-headed slinger or something?
The and, red rifle.
I am going, I'm big on the A.J. Green bandwagon. I don't know how they're
silver slugger.
I don't know how they're going to get by without Jonathan Finene on that Bengals defense. And I actually think the Ravens defense is taking a step back this year. I think the Hall of Famers aren't as good. No Terrell Suggs. I think they could have their issues. And offensively, I'm just not sold on them yet. So I am going to go the Cincinnati Bengals to win. What's the spread?
6. Well, if you pick them to win.
No, I was just wondering. It's going to be closer than 6. It's going to be a hard-fought affair. Slug it out early.
I like the home team. I just don't think Dalton and the Bengals are ready to make that step.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati is one of those teams that tends to ride the roller coaster from year to year.
Yeah.
Sorry about hitting the mic. I will take the Ravens.
But they got Benny.
Yes, they do. San Diego at Oakland is the nightcap on the initial Monday night game. Raiders getting one at home.
I am going to take the San Diego Chargers. I think the Raiders have a decent competitive football team that mortgaged the franchise to get a terrible quarterback. Carson Palmer cannot play. I cannot speak. And the Chargers will get the win.
The Raiders are still a joke of a franchise, so I am going to go with...
San Diego Superchargers.
Big surprise, the guy with the theme song. It's a gay one.
No, you love that song.
I'm taking the Chargers.
You love that song. You dance every time it comes on.
I do. It's catchy. I can't help it.
For the first time, for the first of, I would say, 10 or 11 times, I will pick the Chargers this year and lose because that's what they do.
Like with me and the Falcons. Right.
So I will take San Diego. I agree with Andy. I think Oakland had some things going for it and made a really, really bad decision with Carson Palmer, who at one time was very good, but he hasn't been for a long time.
Drew Bledsoe was good at one time, too. They're going to bring him out of retirement?
Oh. Let's pump the brakes on the Carson Palmer was as good as Drew Bledsoe in his best. No. Anyway, Patriots at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, we had
that we've been talking about.
We're a little over here. It's 207.
208? Yeah, but there's no show after this one. So.
There's no show after this?
No, John Rook is on the road this second day of
the
season.
We have the Football Nation guys at 4.
Just so you know, I knew that.
So why don't we just go 2 more hours?
No.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
Good stuff to do.
Yeah, he pretends he has stuff to do. I got to go order those new postage stamps we're going to call flags that they're going to run across the field with.
I got to
go take that dump
here.
I've been holding for a couple hours.
I go, what's his face over here? We got to do a high school podcast, you know. We're going to break down how Everett going to be best team in state again.
That's actually part of what I have to do.
Wow. He's taking shots at colleagues indiscriminately.
Anyway, 5.5 the Patriots are giving.
That's it.
That's it, because they're going to win by much more than that. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as I think Eric is going to say it is, but I think they're going to go down there, and I am so rooting just for Fred Kirsch that they go bing, 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 and Brady goes 6 of 7 on a 10-play drive, and they score in about 240, and it's over. Thanks for playing.
You know what he'll say? Why are they running the ball?
Probably.
Can't establish the run.
I am not worried about the offense, and I'm not worried about the defense against this team. You know, there's a couple fears. Chris Johnson going 80 is obviously a big one. The athleticism of Locker, big one. The athleticism of Jared Cook, big one. But overall, they're going to do what Paul says they do. And you know what that is? They build a 14-point lead, and then Jake Locker suddenly has to try to come back. Mm-hmm. He's not good enough and ready enough to come back. And all of a sudden, you end up with, I don't know, 31-13 or 28-13, something in that range.
It'll be 38-20, Patriots win.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tighter game. I don't necessarily share Fred's concerns about the offense in the long term, but I don't think it'll be a well-oiled machine on Sunday. I think that the Titans will have the home crowd, opening day enthusiasm. That'll help them at least initially. And it's going to keep the game a little bit closer than some people think. But I do think, as Andy said, the Patriots' offense is just too much. They'll completely overwhelm Jake Locker at one point. The offense will overwhelm Jake Locker at some point and cause him to try to do too much. That's when the mistakes come.
And I tell you what, Paul.
27-17.
There will be either a defensive or special teams touchdown by New England.
Well, there usually is a special teams touchdown in week one.
Yeah,
of
it won't
some
be
sort.
For Mariani because, as you said, he had a tough break.
Oh, for God's sakes. Oh.
He actually wrote that in the preview, a tough break. Did you or did you not write that in the preview about the...
I didn't realize that, everybody looked at it.
So how long are we going here?
As long as I want.
As long as we damn well please. You don't have another show to do. Now, what are you going to do?
Stay
are you going
to
replay this show? But then is it going to be cut off right at the end so they won't hear this?
Yeah.
I can say anything I want in this portion of the show, and no one will ever hear the replay.
Nah, just stop while you're
but
ahead.
Definitely stay tuned because coming up
ahead.
In a little less.
I have a big head. I get a lot.
A little less than 2 hours at 4 p.m. Eastern is the, what's the name of the show?
Football Nation.
Football Nation with?
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright.
Todd
Fred
DeVries.
Fred calls him Todd DeVries.
Jared DeVries?
No, Fred calls him Todd DeVries.
And Chris Everett.
Make sure you stay tuned for that. And,
we will be, obviously. We know them well. We love them.
Sorry for going over with our picks this week. We had a lot of picks to go through, so we couldn't get them done.
A little freebie. A little 10-minute freebie.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.